welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Phone number 866-901-ADAM. Pat O'Brien is going to be part of the show this morning. He's calling in sometime in the 6 o'clock hour. Lisa Loeb, who I've always had a crush on, is coming in studio. Number one single. Name of her show on E! I've been watching. She got in her thong back panties for Isaac Mizrahi, because when a fag tells you to take your pants off and you're a hot chick, they're off. That's what I'd like to do. I'd like to get a gay buddy, walk up and down the street. Hey, Harold, look at her. Oh, yeah, good, yeah. Her. Yeah, go to her. Take your pants off. Oh, okay, sorry. It's your pants. I don't care if she's a good-looking female cop. Doesn't matter. Gay guy tells a hot chick, take the pants off, pants come off. And then they start feeling the boobs. Oh, nice. Real.
The saddest irony there is in life.
There is no greater irony. There just isn't anything, and there's nothing. As a straight guy, you can only stand staring. It's like a chimp looking into a kaleidoscope. That's the look you have. Just wonder, but frozen. Can't do anything, and can't really talk. You can kind of watch and go, wow, it's nice to see this guy grab her boob. Nothing really in it for me. It's nice. I can't reach in. There's no jumping in on this one.
And there's really no, you know, being the hero in that situation either. Like, how dare you?
Right, because you can't shame her. Because if you're like, hey, Isaac, let go of her boob, then they'll both look at you like you're Squaresville. And there's no, go for her crotch. You know, if you start egging him on it. Use your finger, dude. If you start getting into that, then that's a whole nother set of problems. You can only just sit back. And then you
hope
can
to be unnoticed in the experience.
Yeah. You can use, if you want, it's not completely apropos, but you can use, you know how I have my, yeah, but still?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but still. Is the argument you use when you're wrong, but you don't want to say you're wrong. Like you say, hey, you know, Steelers were that a decent season, although not a good road team. Not a good road team.
Well, Adam, they won 3 straight games in the playoffs on the road.
Yeah, but still. You see how that works?
Yes, yeah.
I don't want to go,
undercutting your point, right?
Yeah, I don't want to go, well, I'm wrong. I just say, yeah, but still. I don't
convincing.
Know. But, yeah, the other good one, the close cousin to yeah, but still is, I don't know about that. That just means you've been lying. Like, you know, when someone says, look, every single time I've come back from lunch, you've been sitting on the computer looking at pornography. Now, I pay you to work, yet every time you're staring at porn. I don't know about that. You know, that's the other one. That's the other. I got nothing, but I got to say something. I don't know about that is when you get busted, really, or confronted, and yeah, but still's when you started the argument and you're wrong. And I don't know about that is when someone comes at you. That's how you use it. When I announce that the Steelers not a good road team and I initiate it, then I use the yeah, but still. But if you bust me doing something, you say, I don't know about that.
Listen, I'll tell you what. I was taught this when I was about 17 years of age. I was sat down by an elder and taught that no matter what happens, if just as I was about to go to college, they said, no matter what you ever get caught doing, just deny it.
Mm-hmm.
If you stick with your lie long enough, people will believe it. Like the dean of school, like you're spray painting the library with red paint. You're expelled. You're out of school. I saw you paint. Wasn't me.
Well,
I was standing next to you. I saw you doing it. You must be confusing it with somebody else. It wasn't me.
You know why that's good? It's good for history. I realize history is kind to the people that never give in and never die. He's still to this day. He was put to death over 20 years ago, but two on his way to the firing squad was announcing that he wasn't. It always plants that little kernel, and right. that's all you need. It's even weird historically. I was wondering, you know, because you only have enough time and enough room and enough whatever in your brain. I was just thinking about guys like Bodie Miller, who got all the hype. Like Dan and Dave did, the decathletes many years ago, didn't end up going away with even the bronze. But I bet 8-10 years from now, when you ask us, who won the, Bodie Miller won that one. You know, it just goes down in your head anyway. Yeah, just sort of, there's only enough room and it's like a beehive that there's only enough room to land in certain places and it just sticks. And what are you going to do? All right. What the hell was I talking about? Well, speaking of denial, I was thinking about Dick Cheney because they were talking about the poor guy shot Whittingham, I guess, or Whittington, who is has like 1,000 BBs still in him. Here's the thing. Did they get any of the BBs out, or did they actually put some in? Because the shot holds 300 BBs. He has 375 in him.
Well, you know what happened, right?
What? I know he had the heart attack.
Yeah, gave
thing.
Him a heart attack now.
How does the BB... Well, here's the other thing, and it's frightening, too. And one of my good arguments for taking the goddamn BB out, which is the BBs made their way to his heart. Well, hold on a second. I don't like these BBs. These are diabolical BBs. You shoot a guy, 1 minute it's hanging out of the old man's rib cage, next minute it's tunneling toward his heart. And here's the thing. I thought when you got stuff in you, foreign stuff, it pushed its way out.
No, it always makes its way to your heart. I learned that from my mother when I was growing up, and I would leave things lying around. If there was like a pin or a needle or something, she's like, don't leave that in the carpet. That could go into my foot, break off, and make its way to my heart and kill me.
Wow. Canadian Jew. But here, ka-jew. Here's the thing. I mean, if you get a splinter, I know this from woodworking, if you get something superficial, at least, it'll sort of get pushed out. If you get a shard or something put in your fingernail or your splinter or something, it'll sort of get pushed out. But then maybe if it gets in past a certain point, I mean, certainly if it enters the bloodstream, it's going to make its way to the heart because that's the storm drain system that is leading out into the ocean. If the thing sits out in the street, it might not make it to the ocean, but if you kick it into the curb and it falls down one of the storm drains, it'll make its way to the heart, and maybe that's what happened with this BB, but there's like 100 in the guy, and they're going to leave it, and then everyone's digging into Cheney, and he should have said something, and all that kind of stuff. And now here's the thing, and you guys tell me, but I have a sort of, and maybe we all do this, I have a sort of ethical barometer where I don't really judge too harshly if I would have done the same thing or attempted to do the same thing. And there's a difference, and we don't really see it as a society, or at least we pretend like it doesn't exist. But if I'm Cheney and I shoot this guy in a hunting accident, my first thing is, oh, this is humiliating. The press is going to have a field day with this. And this is an Enron, and it's not weapons of mass destruction. This doesn't say anything other than I'm going to be humiliated. And the next month is going to suck because of this, and I won't be able to watch late night TV. Now, if there's any way I can get this to go away without anyone finding out about it, that's my first impulse. Isn't it everyone's first impulse? Mm. I mean, is it your first impulse? Look, if you're at home feverishly masturbating and your hand slips off and you punch your friend in the face. Do we Wait. Need to call a press conference?
Your friend's there. Why were you masturbating?
Well, someone's got to hold the magazine.
Oh.
I'm a two. I use the remote. And I don't, you know what? This is a hypothetical.
Okay.
My point is.
Yeah, but still?
Yeah, but still. I don't know about that. My point is. I don't call a press conference. I look at the guy and I say, geez, what's going on? And oh, his nose is broken now. And he's like, I got to go home. My wife's going to ask what. Oh, let's try to work something out. You know why? Because no one is going to get hurt, but it's going to be humiliating for me. Now, doesn't everyone have that impulse?
Absolutely.
I mean, who says, look, I'm sorry, but the truth is the truth. I was masturbating feverishly, so feverishly my hand slipped off. I punched you in the nose, it broke it, and I'm going to have to call my kids in. I'm going to need my priest and my gym coach. Everyone should gather around here. Well, I announce this. No, your first impulse is just, oh, this is humiliating, and I don't want anyone to find out about it. So then I say make a lie up. Say when you were leaving, you came back to get your keys, and I was shutting the door, and the door smashed you in the nose. All right, let's do that. Then he does it. But later on, we find out that he got drunk, and he told his wife, and then his wife told my wife. Now my wife looks at me and goes, you're a liar. I don't know if I can believe anything you ever say again. I don't know. Does that make me a bad guy? You know what I'm saying?
Listen.
Yes.
First of all, this is the vice president of the United States, and he shot a rifle into the face of an old man
Yes.
and wounded him. You understand?
Who may or these may not have had it coming.
These are the same people. These Republicans are the same people, you understand, who, what was it, 8 years ago now? Obsessed! The nation had to shut down while we investigated the president getting what for under his desk from... Yes. Intern Monica.
Well,
no, how dare he lie to the American? He didn't commit a crime.
No, no, no. There's a lot.
There's a possible crime committed here. Probably not, but there's a potential crime, and maybe this old man's going to die now. This is worse than whatever Bill Clinton did.
But I'll tell you why. Because one was volitional and the other was a mistake. I mean, what Bill Clinton did was a huge lapse in character. I mean, that's a guy who has a problem.
Well, one might make a case.
I don't mind a guy. The guy's horny. This is a guy who is... This is like Britney Spears driving with the kid on her lap. This is a bad decision maker. Mm. The one who's going to receive oral from the intern, the 19-year-old intern, in the Oval Office. I don't trust this kind of thinking. It's not wise decision making.
I don't trust a decrepit old man who has a history of heart troubles out hunting. I don't like hunting, period. One might make a case that hunting is a lapse in character.
One might, but one would be wrong. But what if he was on a ladder? Yeah, I don't know about that. What if he was on a ladder just cleaning his gutters out and he fell off and landed on his friend? Shouldn't have been up on the ladder.
I think hunting is ridiculous.
Well, I'm not a big fan of hunting either. On the other hand, like I said, hunting was what the butcher was many years ago. I mean, it's just people killed it and ate it. If you kill it and eat it, I'm fine with it. That's one less guy in front of me at the deli line at the store. You know what I mean?
You're saying we should eat the old man now?
I'm saying if you kill it, you got to eat it. Now, technically, he didn't die, so they dodged a bullet there. Pardon the pun. All I'm saying is, yeah, I know we got a note here that said Clinton lied under oath. And that's the other thing, too. I don't blame a guy for lying now, we'll just keep going. Because everyone does this, which is, well, it's not what you did in the Oval Office, which was bad. It's the fact that you lied. Well, once you get to that point, you're going to lie. Again, it's not that you punched your buddy in the face and broke his nose after feverishly masturbating. It's that you lied about it. Well, of course I'm going to lie when you come at me with that. I have no choice but to lie. So I don't blame Clinton for lying. I know it sounds like I'm shifting allegiance here.
That's exactly right, but that's the hypocrisy of these people who tried to cover this up apparently for 22 or 23 hours after he shot an old man. They tried to cover it up, which was apparently the worst thing that happened in the history of this country was Bill Clinton tried to hide the fact that he was making what for with the intern from his wife and daughter.
Well, that I would argue. Well, first off, if I would much rather my wife found out that I shot an old lawyer than received oral from Monica Lewinsky. The other thing that's funny is they keep showing the picture of Whittingham or Whittingmare or what the hell is his
Whittington.
Name? Whittington. They keep showing Whittington, and he has that. They have that same picture that all stuffy attorneys have. That one at their desk when they're doing some work. You know you've arrived when someone needs you to pose at your desk in the 3-piece suit with the book open, looking up, candid shot. Here he is looking up something else. Look at him. I'll tell you this about Dave: never stop looking things up. Look at him. It's a funny picture. It kind of reminds me. It's weird. I remember when I was in like kindergarten, they'll do that same picture, like school picture day. Sometimes they'll put a pencil in your hand and have you sit at the desk and sort of look up a little bit as if I was mid. It's sort of the equivalent.
Hey, you got me.
Yeah, it's like, hey, we're taking, you know, it's back when they would take the old football card pictures. Get in the 3-point stance. I don't want to see you lounging around your house, you know. This is your football picture. This is your school picture. Pick up a pencil, and now we need your attorney picture. Sit at the desk. Look serious and be looking something up.
Now, maybe for fun, society should just reverse that for 1 year. When they make the lawyer cards, they should take them in the football player poses.
Yeah, the diving, right? The old one, like Merlin Olsen or something.
The jumping up in the air and throwing the ball.
And then
Michael Strahan or Terrell Owens sitting behind the desk doing the lawyer thing, reading the book.
Holding the book. All right, so that's that story. I don't know if we settled that. The other thing we wanted to blow the dust off of was hobo power. This is something we brought up some weeks back, and the nation fell in love with it, so I'm going to knock the scab off it, and we're going to get some more calls on. Do you have that song, by the way, Mike?
Yes.
Hobo power is a unit of measurement for stink. We have a unit of measurement for everything. We have kilowatts, we have BTUs, horsepower, everything. nothing to quantify stink, and people just say like, oh, dude, that was rank, or, oh, man, that smelled like something died. But we never know what was worse. And I decided if we started to quantify it with hobo power, we could really put a number to these things. Let's hear the song, by the way, Mike.
When there's a smell, how do we rank it? The Ace Man has a beautiful way. It's called hobo power. A measurement to judge the stink. The scale is 1 to 100. But no one has smelled 100 and lived. So if you smelled some funk and need a number, call Adam and he'll tell you what it is.
Thank you. Now, we realized there has to be some sort of milestones in the hobo power rating system. 100, hypothetical, no man has ever smelt it. If he did, he's dead. We can't tell anybody about it. And 50, we've decided, is a cat who's eaten blue cheese, exclusively blue cheese for 1 week, defecating on a red-hot hibachi. So that's 50. And we've had some good calls. We've had some sheriffs call in talking about summertime, bodies rotting on the commode, all kinds of stuff like that. You call in, and I will rank your hobo power. It's open for discussion, but ultimately I'll have the last say on it. Paul?
I think the highest we've gotten is maybe 75 or 80, if I remember correctly.
Low 70, mid-70s, maybe napalm in Vietnam or someplace like that. Paul?
Yeah, I got one for you.
What do you got?
Living in California, house across the street from where I started on fire, electrical fire. Mm-hmm. I made it across the street in time to see them carry the bodies of 3 children out who had died from smoke inhalation and then been burnt.
Well, it's funny, but where's the smell part come in?
Well, you've got the carpet.
Uh-huh.
You've got the burning the burnt flesh.
Oh, okay.
Burnt fecal matter, burnt vomit of 3 children.
Oh, no.
Now, where were you? You weren't working the job.
I lived across the street from this house.
And the wind just sort of carried the scent as they carried the bodies out.
Actually, I had tried to get into the house to help, and I was across the street standing in the lawn when they carried them out and laid them about 5 feet from me.
Oh, wow. Wow.
That's nice. And isn't there any kind of protocol for that? I mean, don't they do that thing where it's like nothing to see here, move back, or they just let you stand
on
the lawn?
They hold the mother back. Don't look at that!
Since I was on the scene and trying to get into the house before the firefighters arrived, they kept me there as a witness.
Ah, well, you did what you could. Now, why couldn't you get into the house?
Because when we attempted to go in through the only door that we could open, the heat from the fire was so intense we couldn't get any further than about 2 feet from the entrance.
What started the fire, do they know?
A frayed television cord arced on the carpet and caught the carpet on fire, and they were all laying on a mattress in the living room.
Killed by the one you love. That's what it'd be for me. It's like being killed at the hands of my own father if my TV killed me that way.
That too, TV?
Yeah.
Nice.
All right, Paul. That's here's what I have to say. Now, there's an emotional component to this story, obviously, and we've heard it woven into many of the hobo power stories. But I'm sorry, I can't factor that in.
The visual component,
yeah,
right?
I didn't
the
hear
visual,
any
the emotional part. You know what it is? I'm like a judge, and they're saying, "Look, Your Honor, we've had many distress calls from the wife saying he's going to kill me, and there's been many police reports of him beating me. Now we find her dead. We want to bring that into court." And I say, no, that's not admissible. We're just going on the evidence of this particular case. I don't know why that isn't. To me, that's all you need to know, but that's how they did it. That's how I am.
You're acting like just a blind and a heartless nose. Just one big nose.
I'm a huge schnoz. That's all.
With a brain enough to calculate a score, a hobo power
just
score.
Tucked into one nostril.
Right. And, I would love to know what you think about the smell coming from the fridge out there, because Tad opened it this morning, and I was like, what the heck is that?
That actually was just Tad.
Maybe I'll put a number on that.
I would love to know, because I would actually like to see what your rank is on that. It's foul.
Well, let me see if I can rank this one first off. As Sheck said, I'm one big scrotum. That's it. A brainless blob of a scrub.
Well, I said nose.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I was thinking something else. I'm still back at my friend's place. Yes. I'm one big nose. Three charred bodies brought out of the house. Horrible burnt flesh, fecal matter, vomit, all that stuff. Bad. But you were on the lawn. I mean, you were, you know, you say 5 feet away, but you were some distance from this. You didn't walk into it. 49.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I the emotional component, I can't factor that in. Again, I'm one big nose. No eyes, no nothing.
But burnt vomit and fecal matter.
He was not in the house, though. He was out of doors.
So the distance is right.
And the fact that you're not in a confined space. You know, if he was in a trailer or something that was baking out in the sun, that's one thing. He's out on the lawn. He's in the open area. If you take a solid 65 and go from in the bathroom to out on the lawn, it's been lowered to a 40. See what I'm saying?
Listen.
Yeah, no,
I trust you. I trust the magic eight ball.
Thank you.
You know, and I trust what you say. So
thank
that's
you.
That.
Christina?
Yeah?
A hobo power? Yes?
Yeah, I was wondering what would qualify like as a one or a two?
One or two?
Yeah, what's at the bottom of the scale?
Baby fart.
Okay. Because I'm going to start using this. So I just
in the
know
tub?
Where Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, you have a toddler and you're giving them a bath and a little bubble start floating up from the thing. That could be in the 1-2 range.
Mm-hmm.
Once in a while. I'll tell you what'll outrank gas every once in a while. It's been, I don't know, it was in vogue lately. Someone belches and you smell it. You know, that thing where you're eating something like that and you're like, huh? And then second layer, you're like, did you fart or something? And they're like, no, it just belched. You're like, ugh, worse. Somehow coming out of your ass was a better orifice for this to escape. Now it's like we've made out or something. I don't know what it is, but maybe it's just I'm used to the ass. And now the stomach and the mouth, this didn't exist 20 years ago. Lately, people do it. And what is that?
It's worse.
Yeah, it's worse. What happened?
Yeah.
Something happened anyway.
Bologna. If somebody eats bologna and that's the worst. That's worse than any gas.
So that can be up there. But yeah, let's just go ahead and start baby farting in the tub, one or two.
What about like someone's body odor?
Well, it depends what their nationality is, of course.
Okay, I'll get into that then.
Yeah, and all those people who are completely funkified. I know the folks. I know there's people that smell and they can't help it. It's genetic. And then there's the folks that are just cultivating the Rasta lifestyle who are standing in front of you in the long line at the airport. And you think, why do I have to smell everything this guy's smoked, eaten, thought about, or everything that's come from his pores in the last 3 weeks? I mean, like, I got behind a Rasta guy with the huge hair and the huge, you know, whatever the life is. Here's the thing. You know, deodorant has aluminum chloride and toxins in it. I don't want any part of that. Also, if I shower, it'll funkify my hair. I'm trying to get a nice glaze over it. I'm trying to get a nice sebum glaze over it. And you think, all right, that's all your decision, except for I'm Heathrow Airport, and this is a 2.5-hour line, and I'm directly behind you for 2.5 hours, and I smell every goddamn thing that's coming from you. And at a certain point, aren't you infringing? I mean, if a neighbor can tell you to turn your stereo down because he's trying to get some sleep and you're 100 feet over in your living room, where does this rank? I argue above that.
Well, right. But what does that person smell, though? Just as a gauge for people. Is that a low teens?
Dog can't smell his own ass. That's why my dog sniffs it for 10 minutes after he does it. He's trying to find it.
I see.
Yeah, I don't know. But the point is when I'm in charge, we will have guys that are sort of dressed like the Ghostbusters guys going out, toweling hobo power. And if you score over like a 4.5, you're going to be pulled aside.
You should get a ticket. There should be some sort of a ticketing system, system.
There's a ticketing system for playing your car stereo too loud or not having the proper exhaust on your motorcycle. Why? It's offending the greater public.
And some people don't realize it when
they're
doing it.
That's right.
They
That's
need
right.
to be told and given a warning.
That's right.
Should be a database.
And I will have a database. I will tag them. I will have mobile cleaning facilities and eventually a gulag.
And we will call this squad the right guard.
Good. All right. Let's take a break. Tell me your bus driver crapped himself.
Go smell the fridge, Adam.
Puked on his shirt, stuffed it in a bag. That's good.
Oh, no.
Burning a porta potty in prison. Oh, okay. We're getting to all this. Right? We're doing a little more hobo power ranking after this.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now. 866-901-ADAM.
Mm-hmm. We're going to be weighing Big Tad in tomorrow. Big Tad is very serious about his diet. He weighed in at 322. He's got to get down to 315. If he does, he's going to go to the Rio All Suite Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas with the perfect 10 models. And then he's heading over to Scores, to the VIP room, to drink those mini bottles of champagne that they charge me so much for. Nothing worse than a hooker who wants to drink, you know. You get that stripper. Can I have one of them champagnes? You know, one of the mini ones? Yeah. It's like $21 for the mini one. Yeah, I love them. All right. Then you get them, and they don't drink them. Or they take a half a swig and they put it down. I actually drank a stripper's ginger ale once because it cost me $12. And she took a half a sip out of it and sat it down. And I was like, that is a $12 ginger ale, Missy.
And but the good news is you drank it off of her right bosom. You poured it
that's
down
right.
cascading you know bosom and
you know what that
sucked
is?
It off the teeth.
That's the same mentality that cults use to get you to join their cult. It's just they're just testing you to see how what you'll do. First, it's a ginger ale, then it's a small bottle of champagne. The next thing you know, you're wearing a white robe and
that's right.
chanting things.
And goose stepping around and offering up your daughter. Yeah. I'm going deep undercover, and I'm going to blow the lid off those strip joints. Because I'll tell you what goes on in those. The other thing is the VIP rooms. What goes on in there? You go in there for a half hour with you and your buddies. You get a bill, $2,600.
What did we do?
270 Jaeger shots? Yeah. I had four. Don, how many did you have? I didn't have any. Bill, what about you? I had three. Okay, that's seven. You got 275. Look, come on. You going to be uptight? All right, screw it. I'm drunk. I got a boner. I'm drunk. Here you go. Just as long as the Visa thing says food service on it, I'm fine. So... You went out to lunch again in Las Vegas, and it cost $2,800, honey? Well, you know, I'm a big eater. Couldn't just go to the buffet? No, I went to that place where the guy in a tuxedo from the 80s is holding up the giant lobster. It's expensive. My lifelong dream is to meet that guy and that lobster. That guy looking like Peter North circa 1984. Red bow tie, holding up a 70-pound lobster.
Signs all over
on every
Vegas.
Bus stop in yeah. Vegas. I've never been to that place. I have no idea what the name of it is or who the guy is or why they won't get a new sign.
Does it exist is
I don't
the question.
Even know if it exists.
Tony Roma's, I think, right?
No, that's not Tony Roma's. Kimmel would know. I think he dated the guy when he was in high school. He lived out there. You can't judge. All right. Pat O'Brien is calling into the show. I want to get back with this hobo power. Again, it's a unit of measurement. This is how we measure stink. Let's see. Hold on a second. Paul.
Yeah.
You say burning porta potty in prison.
No. I was working a construction job last summer, and they put me in this one-car garage cutting molding, and there was probably 30 or 40 big, huge, like, dudes working on this job, and I knew a handful of them had been to prison before, which I think just kind of adds to the story. Well, anyway, it's like 95 degrees outside, and I'm cutting molding in this garage, and the porta-potty's right outside, and one of the guys on his break flicks a cigarette butt underneath the porta-potty, and next thing I know, 10 minutes later, the freaking thing's ablaze, and the burning poo smell is just infiltrating the garage.
Burning fecal matter.
You'd think they make those things fireproof.
Yeah. You'd think the fact that there was, you know, 70 gallons of human sludge in them would almost make them fireproof. But I'm happy to say I've used many a porta potty because when you work construction, that's where you go. And let me tell you something, ladies. I know you head into the bathroom here and some guy didn't flush or he missed a urinal. And it's like, come on, you animals. I shouldn't have to work under these conditions. Go out, work in Simi Valley in July when there's nice porta potties planted out in the sun. Nothing gets funkier than that.
It's this when you ever go to if you're ever tailgating before a football game, you go in there to make water. You know, I would only ever make number one in such a thing as this. But you go in there and you look into the hole that's there, and it's filled with the worst looking things you've ever seen in your life. And then, of course, you think, who would do that? Sprayed all over the all over everywhere. What's in there? And you realize, like, well, who would ever do that unless it was an absolute must? You would never go in there. I think I'm going to make a little room for another.
Another
bratwurst.
I would defecate in my hat before I did that, and then put it back on and watch the entire game.
I went to this, like, outdoor rave that was out in the middle of nowhere. You had to take buses to get there once. This is, like, years ago. And it was so badly prepared. There was so few porta-potties that they were piled up. I mean, it was filled up, and it was, at the top, was just, like, the most foul diarrhea. And you're like, who do you feel sorry for? The person that has to sit down and maybe accidentally touch that to themselves, or the person that happened to?
I got you beat. Add to that the element of that all happening at a Fish concert.
Yeah.
So you've got the added element of people who don't regularly
the smelly
bathe.
And right. Terrible music.
Patchouli. Oh.
Let me say, because I've been noticing, I was noticing it the last few days, a lot of offloading going on here at work, too. Just about every time I happen down the hall and go in there, I see some guy's shoes and slacks bunched up around his ankles, and it's like, hey, there's a constant flow of, now, I don't, you know, I'm no civil engineer, but I can tell you just from my casual dalliances down the hall that there's way too many asses on this floor, not enough commodes. But then I also think about it, too. Look, people, let's get on an ass schedule. I think you owe it to everyone at work. You can sort of dial your ass in, which is to say, I get up at 7 a.m., I have my cup of coffee, I read my newspaper, I do my business, and then I go to work. Now, I take a couple of tinkles during the course of the day, but the second time I make a BM, it's not till 8 o'clock that night when I'm back at home again. If you sort of dial your ass in, you can make it the 8 or 9 hours you're over at work. You don't have to defecate every 3 hours, you know. But a lot of folks actually save up, like they're saving on toilet paper or Wizard Solid something. Like, hey, I got to go. I got to get going to work. I got to make a load. Do it at your house.
I mean, that's nasty. I don't want to do that at my house. I only ever do that at other people's houses.
Let someone else clean the mess.
Yeah.
I think there's she doesn't even do it in the bathroom.
I think
she just does it in the corner of this room.
Fruit basket. I think there's a lot of bananas gone bad. No.
Rachel's
been here. Yeah. And by the way, stop painting. You're working that right into your scene. Here's the here's the bottom line. I had a guy, Dave, electrician, who was thrown out of the Navy. He guy worked on my house for like a year. He did his business like clockwork every morning at my house at 7:10. When I came downstairs, he was on the pot, and I was like, look, can't we tweak your clock just a little bit? If we can move it ahead 20 minutes, you can be taking your Duke at your apartment instead of at my house every single morning before you start your work day. All I'm saying is we have these signs everywhere, you know, wash your hands or carpool, you know, all these kinds of little notices at work about discrimination and sexual harassment and carpooling and stuff. How about take a dump at your house? How about that should be the number one sign? Tweak your clock. Look, if it's an emergency, if you got hold of you got hold of a bad hoagie during lunch and you got to do some business at 3 o'clock, you know, like, we're not going to fine you or anything. But in general, could everyone just move their clock back 45 minutes, do your business at your house, and then make it through the workday? Thank you.
I say yay.
I say yay, too.
There's so many people out there
the
that
more
can't
you know.
Even.
Don't do it for me. Do it for you. Do you want to be caught this way? Having people, look at, there's only one guy in this office that wears PF flyers.
It's natural. It is a natural body thing.
I know, but many things are natural. Like, you know, you popping a zit, you plucking nose hairs, you whatever. It's all natural. Do it at home. Count this amongst the things you do from the privacy of your own bathroom. That's all. All right, now I didn't get to all my hobo power things. Pat O'Brien's on the phone. You see what you people do to me? Bloated corpse stuck in a camper. We got to take a break. Andrew?
Yeah?
You found a corpse in a camper?
Oh, yeah. No, I called a while back about that lady on the commode, you remember?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're the coroner?
No, I'm not coroner. I'm the guy I'm the meat wagon driver.
Yeah,
anyway,
to the layperson, that's the coroner. You show up and get the body, right?
Meat wagon's a good term, though.
Right. You go pick up the body. And you pulled the lady off the toilet in the summertime, and now you pulled another corpse out of a camper?
Yeah, that same summer I had a guy. He was on the back, well, not just a camper, the kind of camper that sits on the back of a pickup truck.
Mm-hmm.
So when I showed up on scene, where's the body? And pointed towards the camper, and I said, oh, my God. I look in there, and there's no way I'm getting that thing out. It is just bloated to the point where it's not fitting through the door that it came in.
Oh.
So,
yeah.
We,
summertime, did you say?
Oh, yeah, of course. Of
well,
course.
We got to take a break. How did you have to break up the body to get it out?
No, I had the fire department cut him out, but it was just torn.
I'm telling you, by the way, that's a... That's a 41. I feel like I said, if I was a guy who drove the meat wagon, half the time I would torch these things. I would torch the camper. I would torch the house. The old lady was, clung to the toilet, and I would just start torching things. Do it. Let God sort them out. Pat O'Brien is on the phone. We'll take a break. Perhaps Pat has a hobo power story. Take a quick break. Ooh, I like this song. Take a quick break. Be right back after this.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now at 866-901-ADAM. Let's do this.
Yeah, let's do it. Pat O'Brien is on the phone. Lisa Loeb is coming in here later on in the not-too-distant future. I think she's foxy. I like her little glasses. She's a little minx. David Alan Greer is also coming in. I went in the bathroom, by the way, during the break, and someone was offloading, and I thought to myself,
Are you sure it's not Dave? Because
could have been Dave. I didn't recognize the Converse high tops, though. It's a different shoe. But I was thinking to myself, in the bathroom stall, is there, the door stops 2 feet from the floor? Was there ever a time when we needed the door to go to the floor more than this? You know what I mean? It's not a saloon. I understand there's certain places we don't need the door to go all the way to the floor for. This is not one of them.
Yeah.
This is like a submarine door not making it quite to the floor. I'd like it to go all the way down here. Somebody decided in 1921 that there's no reason. Tad, was that you in there?
It was me.
Desperately trying to lose weight.
He's been doing a flush.
No kidding.
I do the courtesy flush. I tried to do it for you, buddy.
Pat? No, but like a diet flush.
Pat, is Pat there? Do I got you? Hey, Pat O'Brien, everybody.
Morning, Adam. How are you?
Good morning,
morning
Pat.
Good morning.
Pat O'Brien.
I would thank you for calling in this early, but I know you're up at like 4 a.m. doing Tai Chi and syndicated sports radio simultaneously every day.
I was at 4:10 this morning. I was in my gym here attached to my house working out.
I know. Now,
I ran into Lisa Loeb randomly in Tokyo last year. Walking down the street.
Wow.
She was
something
coming
went
one
down.
Way, I was going the other way, and she goes, hi, Pat.
Well, let me...
Loeb, I said, well, hi.
Let me say this. You're single now. She's single. She's doing a show on E! Where she's looking for a guy.
I'm not available.
Not? Are you seeing somebody?
I have a girlfriend.
Nice. Is she in the business?
She is not in the business. She's a designer.
Ooh, I like that. Is she live now? You say I know your home. I know you have a gym attached to it. Is it the same home, or are you out of that home?
I'm out of that home,
and you're in a new home with
a
gym.
I'm in a new home, and I'm up there in Los Feliz. You love the Los Feliz area; it's great.
And Pat, let me ask you this, because I'm always jealous of guys that have a motor in them, that have that sort of, they bounce out of bed in the morning and they announce boldly at the party they only need 4 or 5 hours of sleep a night. Are you one of those guys?
Yeah, I am. I cannot, sleeping in to me, and I would like to be able to sleep in.
Mm-hmm.
I would like on weekends I'll try to sleep in, and at 5:30. That's a sleep in for me.
We could never go
and
gay together.
Then, like the other day,
yes,
I had an Adam Carolla day.
Ooh.
I got up at like 5:30. I went back to bed at 9. Got up at noon. Tumbled around. Went back to bed at 2.
Yeah,
it's one of those where your body just says, you know what, just stop.
Yeah, nice. I'm telling you, people always do that. Oh, you can sleep when you're dead, but I'm not so sure, and I'm not taking any chances. I'm getting all the sleep in now while
Pat's got to be up early because he's got important work to do. By the way, I love The Insider every day, but in particular, this week, their focus, getting Paul Abdul a man.
Yeah.
How's
I've been
that
watching
going?
That.
Dr. Phil's situation, the special was last night.
Right.
I haven't seen how it did yet up against the Olympics, but I'm sure it did well. And she's put herself out there in the dating world and had Dr. Phil giving her pointers on you know what she's been doing wrong.
I think we have a clip of that, by the way. Can we hear that, Mike?
If people only knew how difficult it is. I'm slowly entering that dating arena again, which I kind of, like, gave up on. I'm scared as hell what Dr. Phil's going to do to me, but maybe he can help me narrow down the focus of what really will work for me.
Right. She's coming into my studio today. Is there one question you guys want me to ask her? We'll have it on the air tonight.
Wow. Let's think.
Well, I'll just say this while you think about that, Ace. My favorite thing that Paul Abdul said yesterday was with to Dr. Phil, one of the guys she went on a date with, the thing she liked about him, this was a positive, was that he made her feel like she wasn't an American Idol judge. And this was a good thing. Like he made her forget that, I should say.
Uh-huh.
What man wants to, you know, if it were the other way around, no man wants to feel like be with a woman who makes him forget his one good thing about him, you know?
Right.
Why does she want to forget that she's an American Idol judge? It's the only thing she's got going in her life.
People forget that Paul Abdul basically invented the Laker girls and all the variations of them around the country.
Yeah.
As we know them today. I mean, she was the original dancing cheerleader, with lack of a better word.
I'll tell you why I try to forget that, because I can't forget Straight Up, which is the world's worst song, and to me that's
a huge hit, wasn't it?
It's a huge hit, but somebody was telling me, we were doing a little research, I think she had an album with more number ones on it than like any Beatle album. I think she had like four number ones on one of those albums of hers, which is amazing, because when you're talking to your kids about music history 500 years from now, and you say to them, hey, because with modern medicine, we're going to go, you know, name me the band with the number one whatever. Oh, the Beatles? No. The Rolling Stones? No. The Who? No. No. Someone you haven't heard of. You mean that judge lady?
The girl that was dancing with the cartoon cat?
Yes.
And those things, because now they have more sophisticated ways of counting. So being a Beatle maniac like I am, you every now and then you get, you know, Mariah Carey has sold more records than the Beatles and Elvis combined. Or, you know,
right,
Mark Anthony,
right,
actually.
Right.
And you're right, Adam. When you think of the gold standard music, you'd think it's always going to be the Beatles.
Right, or whoever, but or even Conway Twitty, but not Paul Abdul.
Right.
Yeah.
Sam Fear with the pan flute would be preferable.
That's
I want to know who has someone that wants to date Paul Abdul, because I think she seems like a sweet gal, but I don't know from a guy's perspective.
She's a kook.
She seems, here's the thing, I think. She seems, and I think guys do this, and Pat, you tell me what you think. I think guys have a little sort of a spidey sense that tingles when we're around a woman that may be a handful, not a bad person. And when I say nutty, I mean it in the best sense possible, but a sort of a handful. You know what it's like? It's like it's your first car, and you shouldn't be driving a 1956 Jaguar. You know what I mean? It's like the electrical's bad. It's going to break down all the time. And you're right. Saying, yeah, but it's a convertible. It looks great. Come on, Dad, right. Buy me this car. No, you're getting the Toyota, son.
Right.
You can't handle it. It's too much.
And it's Carolina blue, and the color looks good. Yeah, I get it.
Everything looks good, but it's just, son, it's snowing. What are you going to do with the convertible during the winter? And you have to be a mechanic to drive this car.
But the other component, too, is that if you're dating a celebrity, and especially if you're a guy dating a, you know, and Paul Abdul is a, you know, huge celebrity now, because American Idol gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. It's 30 something million people.
No, I mean, it's like Super Bowl numbers.
It's good for them. I mean, it's amazing. It's good for them. But then you're the guy dating one of these people, and you pick out any famous woman, and then you're kind of left hanging there on the red carpet, and people asking, who's this guy? Who are you? And then they look into your life and come
right.
Back and blah, blah.
Yeah, there's a microscope you have to go under, and then there's the, as a guy, no matter who you talk to, the reality is, or what they say, the reality is the guy kind of wants to be the one who wears the pants, who brings home the bacon. He doesn't want his old lady paying the mortgage on the house and that kind of stuff. And you're just playing second fiddle. And that's a little tough on the ego. And like I said, the other part is she's a handful. I would guess she's a handful.
She just seems a little emotionally fragile.
Yeah. Again, she's the British sports car, and I'm just not sure if she's a daily driver. Not bad for a weekend rental if the weather's nice. You know what I'm saying? Take her out, drive her hard for a couple days, and then back into the garage.
Weekend
and hop into the Taurus. All right, Pat, do you have a hobo power story? We're trying to think of a hobo power is a unit of stink. I was trying to think of a measurement for stink because we have BTUs and horsepower and all this kind of stuff, but we don't have a unit of measurement for scent. Everyone just says, oh, that was funky or that was rank. What's the worst smelling thing you've ever encountered?
I mean, it's not, I mean, having been in news for 10 years, I've been around dead bodies and all that kind of stuff, and that's always horrible. That's the gold standard.
But you didn't have to have sex with him, Pat.
No, I did not.
That's all I'm saying.
When I was in high school,
no one said you had to have sex with him.
Did I say that?
I did the math.
You just brought that up.
We talked at your last Christmas party.
Thanks.
Maybe had a few too many Chardonnays.
I'm just trying to figure out
high school
train of thought this morning, but that's a whole other book.
High school.
High school. We used to go to the, like, do you remember Montgomery Ward's?
Yes.
Those places, JCPenney, Shriver's.
Yes. There was a whole bunch of discount stores that smelled like mothballs and grandma and poor.
We used to go to the perfume counter, and of course it's not like the perfume counters now where they have men and women. And we used to find the most horrid smelling perfume.
Mm-hmm.
Just the one that just would make you sick. And we'd open it up and pour it on our friends so they would smell like this for days.
Right.
I've played that game. That's a fun game.
That's it's
a
good.
Fun game.
And
I think we should bring that game back.
You know what? I'm sad to say, but you do it to some 9-year-old and his dad would be an attorney.
Right.
And his dad would claim that he couldn't perform sexually anymore.
Now you can't do that stuff.
Yeah.
Now they arrest you.
Everyone would get sued now. All right. But Pat O'Brien, everyone. That's not that bad, though, because it's perfume. It's bad, but it's not, again, cat crap on the hibachi bad. It's too much good bad, which is bad, but not as bad as too much bad bad.
Does that even get into double digits in your book?
No, it's a solid 7. Mm-hmm. Pat.
Yep.
Thanks, buddy.
Adam, always my pleasure.
Always mine. The Insider. Pat O'Brien, The Insider. Here's what you do. I watch the show every night. I'm addicted to these shows. The Insider is a syndicated show, so you can find it at different times. It seems to be out here in L.A. I think it's on at 7:30. But check your local listings. Go to the Insider TV, yahoo.com. Find your times. Also, Nancy Kerrigan is going to be doing a little corresponding from Torino in the Olympics for The Insider. So check that out, dear friend. Pat O'Brien. We'll take a quick break. Be right back with news and sports after this.
You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now. Now at 866-901-ADAM.
Yeah. 866-901-ADAM. Lisa Loeb is coming in here. Just talking to young intern Jerron. You want to feel old? Go talk to Jerron. Jerron's like, who's Lisa Loeb? Yeah, she's a pop singer, you know. She's got that song Stay. It's, you know, pretty big hit. Well, when did it come out? I don't know, 94, 95? Look it up on the computer. No, 94, yeah, there it is. How old are you, John? 21? Yeah, you were 9. You should have... 9. He was 9. He was 9. Come
that
on.
That makes me sad.
You grew up in a black family. You guys don't know Lisa Loeb? It's Black History Month. You don't know the Loebster? She led the bus boycott, 69.
Now, Jerron was too busy with his family. They were getting down with the early records of Modest Mouse. But yeah,
Dad was a big Guy Lombardo fan. The world's whitest black man. But he did salvage some street cred by not... It's not only who you know, it's who you don't know if you're trying to get some street cred.
Mm,
you know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
That's smart. Haven't heard of this person? Know this person. It's just like when you talk to these like stuck-up politicians and they have to do that thing all the time, you know, it's like Marilyn Manson's been around for 10 years and they have to do that thing. There's some rock pop acid rock act called, I guess his name is, what is it? Manson. Somehow you have to pretend like you don't know what stuff is because if you do, you'll endorse it somehow. Yeah. So if you're old and stodgy and you're complaining about Marilyn Manson, you have to say you don't know who he is. You just hear there's a guy who's taking the Lord's name in vain.
I don't think I would take the time to learn this character's name.
I like when they do that. Obviously, they know they're well briefed on these things. My favorite thing is when they do these news magazines, 2020, 48 hours, and they're talking about some hazing process. And yeah, Barbara Walters going, now they held your teenage son down in the locker room, and the boys did something called teabagging? Because I don't know. What is teabagging? I don't know. Well, maybe you don't know, you old coot, but certainly, if you replace teabagging with something else, like putting a burning tire around something and calling it a Joliet necklace, your producers would tell you what it was. You've been briefed. You didn't sit back with your producers and have them go, they did something called teabagging, and you go, don't tell me, surprise me. You said, what is it? Then you go on the air 5 minutes later and you go, what is this? I don't know what this is. Of course you know what it is. Everyone who knows what it is, you know Marilyn Manson's, you know what teabagging is. You have to pretend like you don't know so we don't pass any judgment on you or somehow lump you in with. That's the whole thing. When I used to do Loveline on MTV, I'd say, look, I'm a bad guy, but I'm no Hitler. And they'd go, don't bring Hitler up. And they would be like, I can't bring him up as a negative example? No, what people don't like. You understand, I'm not saying teabagging is a good thing. I'm not saying teabagging the Fuhrer is a good thing. That's a good punk band right there.
Teabagging
the Fuhrer. Write that down. Who'd you play? I was with Teabagging the Fuhrer for a while. We had creative differences. We went our own way. So anyway, someone who did not play with Teabagging the Fuhrer, Lisa Loeb, is going to be in here. Jerron's going to have to pretend like he's a fan when he meets her in the hall. I'm excited because she's cute, and she's single, and she wears glasses. Now, what were we talking about? What needs to go down? Some news? Some sports?
Yeah.
You ready, Rachel Perry?
Oh, yeah, there's news today.
Rachel Perry with the news.
Oh, boy. An official report is being released today from the House Investigative Committee saying that the government and emergency response to Hurricane Katrina was a dismal failure on all levels. In related news, 4,000 accused felons may go free in New Orleans because the system cannot afford to hire public defenders for them. Their budgets have been slashed so much. And those $2,000 debit cards that were handed out, there's a little investigation as to what was being purchased with this $2,000.
Sure, a lot of Tipperillos and 40 ounces.
A $1,300 handgun.
Ah.
Somebody dropped $1,200 at a strip club.
Yeah.
An engagement ring. Someone paid bail bond. Someone got a $450 tattoo.
Yeah, here's the thing, unfortunately. It's the catch-22 of lending people money. I have this with my own family. If someone needs you to lend them money, there's a very good chance you're not going to get paid back. If you lent me $500, I could pay you back the next day because I don't need the $500. If I need it, then you ain't getting it back. And if you give $2,000 to somebody who really needs $2,000, they're going to spend it on nothing.
Yeah, if you ask me for $500, I figure you're just testing me to get me to join your cult.
Or I want something.
Want something more than the money.
That's right.
Something else.
That's right.
Something deeper.
You don't have to pay. You pay me in love, Rachel Perry.
You will get your love.
Thank you.
If I get my money. Okay, things keep getting worse for Cheney because the man that he shot in a hunting accident is going to be hospitalized for the next week after suffering a minor heart attack caused by the pellets the doctors decided to leave inside him. This is Peter Banco of the Christus Spahn Hospital in Texas.
Some of the birdshot appears to have moved and lodged into a part of his heart, causing the atrial fib and what we would say is a minor heart attack.
The birds had to be laughing their ass off, though. Yeah, old man, how do you like it? It stings a little, doesn't it? Nice. Remember that next time you pump that shotgun, would you?
A colored bull terrier named Rufus became the first bull terrier to win Best in Show at the Westminster Dog Show.
And how fitting during Black History Month that a colored bull terrier wins the Westminster Dog Show. God bless him.
It's a beautiful
thing. It's wonderful. Yeah.
Have you been watching this?
Yes.
I've tuned in a little bit. You know, Fred Willard was hysterical, obviously, doing it in Best of Show, doing the commentating. But the actual commentators have exchanges like the guy will say, no, that's a terrier, but I mean, the layperson would recognize that as Benji from the movie, and then they laugh hysterically.
Yeah. So droll.
The lay people. Benji.
Right.
Was that an actual joke? Because I didn't get it if it was.
Dog humor.
When he says lay people, he means non-gay people.
Those are
the people he's talking to who don't understand the dog breeds. Yes.
Now, in entertainment, Life and Style magazine is saying that Tom and Katie broke up. But apparently they're planning on continuing with their charade until the baby's born. A publicist for Tom and Katie emphatically denying that they split up, and the magazine stands by their story, claiming the info came from unnamed friends of Tom.
Can I ask you guys a quick question?
Please.
How does this stuff get going? You know, I mean, like, there's one part of me that thinks, well, Tom Cruise isn't gay. This is just hearsay. There's no real evidence of this. People just talking. People who are jealous just talking. He's rich. He's good looking. He's maybe a little eccentric. On the other hand, I think to myself, well, how come this gets going about him and not about whoever else? You know what I mean? No one hears any gay talk about Kid Rock. No one hears any gay talk about Heath Ledger. Nobody, even though he's in the movie. No gay talk about any other celebrities or notables. Why him? And it's that same thing I wrestled with Richard Gere's rectum for many, many years. Many years over this issue. Physically and literally wrestling with the rectum, thinking, of course this isn't true. On the other hand, well, how does this get started?
They're punishing him for cocktail?
Maybe. You're saying that we're punishing him for cocktail. Yeah.
Maybe.
I guess they ironically named cocktail. I guess I'm just saying, how does this work? Do you guys think he's gay? And if so, what are you basing it on other than everyone just going, ah, come on, he's gay?
I heard somebody's friend said.
Yeah, I know a guy.
That they caught him in bed with Nicole Kidman's brother.
Yeah, he knows someone who knows someone who knows his publicist's assistant or something like
somebody
that.
Somebody that drove me somewhere was his driver on a thing
right.
That went to pick up a man.
And he was getting it on in the back of the town car with a dude.
Well,
yeah.
I know.
Does anyone know? I don't think anyone knows, do they?
Only Tom knows for sure.
Mm. Oh,
well, and the man.
Yeah, the man upstairs.
Well,
yeah.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, last night, American Idol, it was the group singing competitions last night in the Hollywood auditions. These twins, mm-hmm. Darrell and Terrell Brittenham, who are... Basically, we heard, you know, a month ago that they got arrested and were kicked out. So I guess that all this stuff, you know, is pre-taped.
Mm-hmm.
But so we know the ultimate, you know, end to these two is that they, you know, they went to jail. They were actually for fraud, for allegedly buying a car using another man's identity. And then they got out on bail and got a recording deal from Jermaine Dupri's So Def Records.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're partially... like retarded or something.
Well,
I mean,
twins share one brain.
They're so insane, these two. Okay, so the one guy they were in separate group auditions,
mm-hmm.
and the one, Terrell, got all pissy because his group went to bed early and he wanted to rehearse.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one, Darrell,
right.
thought that during the group singing things, thought that his brother got kicked out.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what he said.
I'm very disappointed.
Well, then you go through.
Let me finish. I would like to thank you guys for the opportunity, but my spirit has been broken. I'm not going to crap on my talent because
he's
I
not.
Know that I
he's
have.
Not going to crap on it.
He doesn't work here. If he worked in the building, he would be defecating right now. Everyone here defecates.
For a person like me and my brother. And I beg to differ. This is the end of the road for me. I'm going to go home, and me and my brother want to get our album finished on the music that we want to do, and then we'll see you guys at the top.
Okay, see you later. Bye-bye.
See you later. Thank you.
Well, I'll tell you, I didn't see the show, but I know we're all thinking the same thing. Darrell, these Jews, they're out of control.
Yeah.
They have a sense of self-entitlement. I don't know. I'm picturing the Hasidim up there. Here's the whole thing. The thing, you know, when everyone does that with their twins, when they're like, they always get weird with their twins. My wife is giving birth to twins in a few months, and now I'm freaked out because there's this weird thing they have. Like, I like my sister okay. I hope nothing bad happens to her, but that's about where it ends. I don't give that weird thing where I start getting teary every time I talk about her, and I go, I know there's someone out there who's got my back, who thinks the same as I do, who'll always have, like, okay, relax. It's weird. It's like you cut off a piece of your foot, put toothpicks in it, put it in a mason jar, put it on the kitchen counter and had it sprout. and now it's you. It's really weird. There's a weird thing. That's it. I'm giving away one of my kids when they're born. This is too weird. It's a weird thing when you walk around with that sort
based
of
on American Idol as
doppelganger the out there. But isn't it a little creepy to have that sort of thing where it's like, we got the same heartbeat, man. He's got my back. I got his back. He's my best friend and he transcends friend, man. He's like a brother. He's like a best friend. He's like a father. It's like, isn't that kind of weird? You start doing everything, then eventually you marry a set of twins. Isn't that weird? I mean, I don't want there to be another one of me out there. I'd like there would be less of me, and I know you would too.
Well, ultimately, what happened was, I mean, it was just the most awkward situation ever. He went out and found his brother, and then the brother was like, no, dude, I didn't get cut.
Mm-hmm.
And then he starts freaking out.
And they get back? He got back in?
Well, yeah, he had to go back in. He's like, you have to go back in and apologize. I mean, it was great drama. He's like, go back in and apologize. And so he went back in, he apologized, and then Randy and them were like, we need time to think about this. But ultimately, they did get back in. So,
right.
Happy ending. That's the news for now.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Winter Games in Torino. Of course, the top story. The U.S. leads the pack with 5 gold medals, but Russia has the most overall medals. They lead us 9-7. Bodie Miller, of course, big story was yesterday, was disqualified in the men's alpine combine event. He straddled a gate.
Good.
Apparently, no worse sin that one can commit. His teammate, though, upstart Todd Ligety, pulled the major upset and won it. Bodie's some guy. They asked him if he was sad that he didn't even medal. He said, no, at least I don't have to go down the mountain to Torino to sit through the medal ceremony. Good teammate. It's a regular Terrell Owens of skiing, isn't he?
He's a jackass. I saw him interviewed. He's one of these guys who was raised by... He's one of the evil hippies. He's the angry hippie. He was raised by angry hippie parents. He's antisocial. Screw him. Good. You get nothing.
Yeah.
Crawl back in your hole. I'll see you up in Mammoth in 10 years. You'll be chain smoking, drinking from a flask, and teaching my kid how to snow plow.
The dames are out on the slope today. The women's downhill just finished up. American Lindsay Kildow, who fell horrifically a couple days ago.
Yeah.
She skied. She finished 8th, though. NBA last night quickly. Clips very badly treated by the Rockets, who paid a visit here in L.A. Seattle lost at Milwaukee. The Kings won in the Windy City. Now, back to the Olympics quickly. NHL on hiatus, of course. Wayne Gretzky and company, Team Canada, over there to play. They play their first game today. Wayne wanted to make one point, though, about this little gambling controversy.
I'm not involved. I've said it for 7 days. It's over and done with. The concern is to worry about playing hockey.
Still with this, it didn't have to do with me. Fortunately, crackerjack of a wife, Janet Jones, our correspondent over there, and she's been making picks for us. She's done very well so far. She's having a heck of a time, it seems like, out in Torino. And I wanted to give her a call again to hear what her pick of the day is. Let's see here.
Hello?
Mrs. Gretzky, how say you?
No, Billy. Hey, Billy, hold on a sec, okay?
I still can't get your name.
Yep, Billy, hold on, okay?
Okay.
She must have caller ID must be screwed up or something.
All my friends.
Woo! That sounds like you're having fun, Mrs. Gretzky.
You know it. I just hit 30-1 long shot in the women's lose. Woo!
Was your husband Wayne there with you?
Yeah, right. I think he's back in the room doing his nails. No, I'm getting down with Bodie Miller. This dude, he doesn't know how to ski, but he knows how to party. I scored some killer hats from one of those freestyle skiers, and we are getting right.
Okay. Let's just move on. So, what's your pick for today?
Okay. I got a surefire winner for you. Bet the house on the Germans and Swedes in men's hockey on a two-way parlay. And thank me later, Billy.
It's Dave. All right, listen, we'll let you go. All right, have fun tonight.
Right on. Ciao, Billy.
Wow.
She is getting wild over there.
Yeah.
Still
it's about 9 hours difference. So it's just like,
yeah,
I don't know, five, six
that.
In the afternoon. It's still start partying pretty hard over there.
Not good for her.
Yeah.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
All right. Well, Lisa Loeb is due in here, although I've not seen the Loebster yet. So we'll wait on that. Also, a few more stories of hobo power. Oh, you know, something I want to say about American Idol, I've had a marginal ass full of, is a lot of these folks getting thrown off, and then they have their teary sort of interviews afterward. Like, it doesn't matter, because you know what? I got talent. I'm going to keep going, and this is my dream. And to come this close to your dream and then have it cut off like this, it just, but I'm not going to let anyone squash my dream. You're 17. When I was 17, my dream was to get a gig mowing a lawn. That was my dream gig. Like, we're supposed to feel bad for people that are 18, 19 years old that are having their dreams crushed. Think about where you were at 18 or 19. I was trying to figure out whether I should take basic math or junior college math over at LA Valley College. That was it. And hoping somebody died so I could get $8,000 or $9,000. That was it.
And can I tell you what's more on that? I'm not going to let anyone end my dreams. This isn't the end of the road for me. Yeah, listen, I don't think a record exec's taking a shot on you after Paul Abdul and company deem you not good enough for their TV show. I don't think you're getting signed to a record deal.
I don't want to live in a society where every 17 and 18-year-old is realizing their dream.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to work hard. You're supposed to go to school. You're supposed to get training, internships, all these things. And your dreams start coming true in your later 20s after you've put in 10 years of hard work.
And then we're supposed to feel bad for them after it goes south. Oh, my deal didn't pan out. Nobody bought my record, but I'm still trying. I'm working hard.
But imagine, everyone close their eyes and imagine what it would be like to be 18 and a half years of age and not have a record deal. Wow.
Don't even. Why you gotta upset me?
I know you can't even put yourself there, but just do it for a minute. Tough, huh?
It's terrible.
Everyone, look back on your crappy lives and see where you're at. I was 18. I was living in a garage. I was at my stepmom was giving me the stink eye to get out of the house. And I was looking for a job as a construction laborer while I was cleaning carpets. All right. Cry me a river, you pukes. Let's take a break. Get Lisa Loeb in here. Also, maybe a little hobo power talk. We'll see how the phones are doing. David Alan Greer. Speaking of my dream, dag. My main man coming in. See if he does that special handshake with your aunt. All that after this.
You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM. And do it right now.
Yes, 866-901-ADAM. Lisa Loeb. I love Lisa Loeb.
Hello.
She's darling. Studio.
She's cute.
Hello.
So I like them. I don't know how tall she is. She's not tall. I don't need tall. I like a woman I can envelop in my arms. You know?
You can put her right in an envelope with a sandwich, an egg salad sandwich. Like Flat Stanley is what you could do.
Brown bagger. Bring her to work.
That's really cute.
Lisa has speaking of cute, has those little glasses that I love so much, too. Sings like an angel. And I've been watching the new show. Number one single. Yeah. Yeah, I love it. I if I'm a sucker for that kind of stuff, put a camera on someone and follow them around and I'm in. I like that Isaac Mizrahi got you down to your panties.
Well, some guys can do that.
And gay guys can do it. It's almost a mandate. They're almost like federal marshals who want to look in your bag. You know, that's what gay guys are. They don't even have to, they have an imaginary badge they flash to all women. Take your pants off, ma'am. It's cold outside. Okay, you want to go that way? I'll take them off myself.
Why is that? What's the motivation, though? What are they getting out of it? What's the gay fella getting out of it?
If Kimmel told you to take your pants off, you tell him to go F himself. But if Isaac Mizrahi tells you to take your pants off, you take them off.
Tell her to take her pants off and see what happens.
Take your pants off.
I don't know if I have cute underwear on.
Ooh.
Look, that wasn't a straight up.
No, you guys are thinking I get to see Lisa Loeb's ass. I'm thinking
she
I may
wearing
be
underwear?
I'm thinking I may be gay. Okay.
No, you know what? There are little panda bears on there.
Ooh.
Little panda bears on there. Let us judge. I don't know. It's a little too early. If it were about an hour later and I had just finished this coffee, I might.
Are you going? There's that little switch.
You know when you get that little switch in your head and you just have to do something like.
Do you? Are they thong back? By the way.
Thong backed
pandas.
Yes, of course.
Pandas with thong back?
Thong back sounds like. You know, Thongback Mountain or something.
What are we calling them? T-bars?
That's so architectural.
Well, you know what happens when you bend over and it comes up the back? What do they call that?
Wedgie.
The whale tail.
Oh.
When you see it.
Well, what?
Bends
over. Yeah,
that's just so terrible. In that. I'm going to create a thing. It's going to be a little stuffed animal, a cute one. Mm-hmm. Like when you're on an airplane, you take the stuffed animal, you shove it right there in your pants. In the back, so that when you're sitting there and there's like a businessman sitting next to you, they look over and instead of seeing things they don't need to see, they could see a little stuffed animal. Or you could put like a sign they can read or something.
Right, maybe just a mirror so that they would see themselves and realize what they've become.
Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
Or a quote from the Bible.
Well, let me ask this. I'm always curious about the thong back, and what do we want to call it now?
The thong.
The thong, to me, is the height of discomfort. Like, as a guy, every once in a while, your underpants inadvertently go into the thong mode, and you immediately have to get them out of there. Right. I couldn't imagine walking around all day this way.
I think it's that balance between the discomfort of knowing you have the worst panty lines. Panty is a bad word. Mm-hmm. You have the worst panty lines ever.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, you know, it's like it's the lesser of two evils.
Right.
And it's really, you don't... But notice it. Right?
You do. You will adapt, and maybe.
Oh, yeah, no.
Here's an interesting thing.
It's evolution. It's evolution of the American ass.
You guys are almost first generation. You're pioneer thong wearers.
Exactly.
Our daughters and their daughters will not have to deal with this because, from an evolutionary standpoint, their ass will have adapted.
Right.
To
exactly.
It.
It makes me feel weird that little kids are wearing thongs now that they make them.
Really,
that's not
I like
right.
it.
It's little kids should have panty lines.
Or not.
I don't know.
No, they should be wearing three sets of underoos.
When did this become the way that it had to be this way? Because I would like to say, at least from this fella, I don't like it. No, I don't like the thongs.
Why not?
You know.
I don't know why. I just like the other way.
Do you like a panty line?
You find them uncomfortable.
No, that's the banana hand. I don't know. I don't want to get into all that whole thing. I'm talking about the women. I'm talking about for the women. I don't like how it looks. I like the full back.
Well, here's the thing. I think, first off, a nice ass looks good in a mailbox. You know, it doesn't matter what you're wearing at that point. But if a thong back is a little more flattering for, ironically, you'd think less would be not more in this case. It turns out it's a little more flattering, but I think it's when the pants are on that the women are thinking about. They don't want to see the lines going through the jeans, so they go with the thong back.
But heavy, but if you're even slight, if you're carrying anything extra in the back there, any junk
extra.
At all back there,
right.
You can still see the lines of the thong versus the lines of the other one. So what's the difference? So what have you achieved?
It's buried.
First of all, I gotta say, you know, I don't know about the word extra. People have what they have. It's not extra. It's just part of their lovely body.
Yeah, everyone's beautiful. I've been watching the Dove campaign, too. All women are beautiful.
Well, they are. If they get airbrushed, come on.
No. Yeah.
Women are beautiful. I'm tired of those people. I'm serious.
They're all beautiful. Every shape, every color, every size, it's everything. It's all one. We don't have any ideal. That's why if a black Miss America wins, she looks white, essentially, even though we have no beauty ideal. She'll only win. She's not going to win if she looks like a Shirley from Good Times. She can't have the big afro and the big nose and everything.
She has to have the small nose
and the straightened hair that's been ironed out. I mean, let's face
it. What's wrong with this?
That's what I'm saying.
This is a terrible thing.
It is.
I'm so serious. Ay-ay-ay-ay-ay.
Look, I don't see anything. I don't judge dudes. I don't judge cultures. I don't judge women. You're all just one big lump of cells to me.
That's sexy.
Now, Lisa, are you still single? I know the show is about you finding a date, but that was taped a few months back, right?
Yeah. You know, there's some interesting fellows in the picture, but I don't have a ring.
And what's going on? Biological clock ticking?
Yes, the biological clock's ticking, you know, and it's terrible because I thought for a while it was the same kind of thing, like when I was in high school and suburbia, and everybody says, you gotta go to college, you gotta go to college. So mm-hmm. your robot inside of your head, your little computer, that chip that was implanted when you were a child, says, I gotta go to college. And then you go to college, you're like, oh wait, why am I here? Because everybody told you had
right.
to. And then you gotta get married, you gotta have children, you gotta, you know, that thing.
Right.
And but I started actually thinking about it, and I actually do really want to have children, mm-hmm. and I actually do want to get married.
Well, do you
have a big slumber party for the rest of my life?
Do you sort of feel a little bit like you're in your later 30s now,
yeah.
right? And you had success in your earlier 20s, midder 20s, right?
Yeah.
And then almost like a guy approaches it, you wanted to have a good time for 10 years. That wasn't the time to settle down. That was the time to date celebrities and have a nice time, not get pregnant
right.
and get barefoot and get in the kitchen. But now,
which is fun, actually. But yes.
Now the clock's ticking. You know,
I know
George Clooney can get away with this. He doesn't have a biological clock.
He's weird. No, I don't agree with that. Now he's gotten to that point where I'm like, don't you think all those older guys that are like, oh,
you don't
we're
think
single-
he can get laid?
Well, I'm sure he can get laid, but I just don't find it attractive.
Right.
Not that I don't find him attractive. Don't you just think that it's kind of pathetic?
But you disagree with my assertion that he can get away with this?
He can get away with it. You know, I could get away with it. Anybody can get away with it, but
no.
it comes down to, like, what do you actually want? Like,
no,
you actually want a little baby.
No, but here's what I'm saying. You can't get away with it because you have, as a woman, a bit of a mandate, biologically. Sorry, I know you can't judge, but you want a child.
Yeah, but if
and
I,
the clock
I,
is ticking. And you want to get in a relationship, and you want to get pregnant, and Dave Damashek is your man.
I want to know what the problem is with the men that you've been meeting.
Well, I think part of it is, I don't know. It's the oftentimes it's just the chemistry's not there. Like, there's some really great men that I've been on dates with.
You were with Dweezil Zappa for many years,
That's right?
Right,
yes.
Yeah, and so you want a good-looking guy who can swing an axe that way, and you don't want to settle down with a normal guy. That's the problem.
Yeah, if you play an Ovation guitar, I can't date you. No, I'm actually, I am looking for somebody who is talented and passionate about what they do. They don't have to be a musician.
Yeah.
In fact, I'd rather not have them sitting in the other room writing music while I'm trying to make pancakes in the morning.
Talented, passionate guys, unfortunately, don't want to settle down as fast as sort of boring guys who are a little more stable.
Okay, boring, stable guy who's got a good sense of humor.
Okay.
Who has a TiVo, who likes to travel, you know.
That sounds like Adam.
I got three words for you. Tad. And the reason, I know it sounds like only one syllable, but he's over 300 pounds, so I think we ought to thicken it up a little bit. We need to take a break. Hey, we'll bring Big Dan here. I want to play Hypothetical Question with Lisa Loeb. Many more questions. David Alan Greer's coming in later on. We'll take a quick break. Find out your favorite song, your least favorite song. Maybe a little more Hobo Power Talk. All that after this. 866-901-ADAM. Lisa Loeb is in studio. Number one single, her show on E! Sunday nights, 10 o'clock. Very best of Lisa Loeb in stores. As we speak, I'm a fan. I'm a fan of the show, too.
Thank you.
I really do enjoy it. Lisa's trying to date. She wasted a little time in her 20s and early 30s. Now the biological clock is ticking.
Wasted.
Well, not wasted.
You sound like my folks. It's like, I need to get a time travel
machine
and go back and change everything.
I don't mean wasted. I just mean there is a sort of pay me now or pay me later.
Right.
Element in life. And it's sort of like, in a certain way, it's like the guys, and there's a difference. It's sad. It's sad that George Clooney gets to go on in perpetuity, happily banging away his way, banging his way through Hollywood, and it doesn't matter how gray his hair gets or how many crow's feet he gets, there's always going to be a new 28-year-old for him to hop on top of. But unfortunately, that's the way it goes. But listen, ladies, you guys, here's the ultimate one you guys never talk about. I always talk about, well, why is it the double standard? Why is it a guy is more handsome at 42 and a woman's over the hill at 35? You guys live 10 years longer than we do. How about that? Isn't that the ultimate Trump?
Yeah.
Everyone, you know, my dad, my grandpa was in the ground 10 years ago. My grandmother still happily goes along, and all the retirement homes are just filled with old women. All the guys gone. We die 10 years earlier. That's, I mean, could you put a price on that?
That's hot.
I'm just saying, the next time you guys think you're getting chipped because you're getting 75 cents to our dollar, or you're considered old after 40, how about the fact that we're in the ground and you're driving our car around for the next 10 years?
True. And another advantage that the women have that Lisa Loeb is exhibiting today, she has her nightgown, her lingerie, sexy lingerie, over her clothes. Her pink lingerie. It's racy.
You could do that too, Dave.
It's titillating. Well, that's what I was going to say. Imagine if I came in here in my underpants over the jeans. Strange.
You could wear a Well, you're wearing a t-shirt. Isn't that your lingerie?
Lisa.
Oh.
Yeah.
Lisa was speaking during the break about Ambien-driven eating binges. And it's a weird thing because I've popped a few Ambien in my day and have gotten incredible munchies like you just did a huge bong load. And I've never talked about it with anyone else. And it's not anything that anyone ever talks about. It's just sort of, you take the Ambien, maybe you forget what you did the night before, you fall asleep on the airplane, whatever it is. It makes you hungry.
Yeah.
And it's the worst kind of thing because you can demolish a pie off high on Ambien at 1:30 in the morning, and the following day, wake up and forget you did it.
Yeah.
Like you wake up and you're like,
where'd the pie go?
Yeah, what is this? What the hell is this apple filling doing on my mouth? What happened? What happened here? Oh, that's right. I ate a pie.
It's usually for a bad reason, too. Usually if I have to take Ambien, it's because I want to get up and wake up early so I can work out before I go to work at 7 a.m. And then I go into my parents' pantry. I'm like, I didn't know my parents had Cheetos and potato chips and peanuts and peanut butter.
Right.
Oh, in that fridge. Oh, I didn't know they also had that coconut cake and that wheat germ tasted so good with strawberry jelly.
Yeah.
It's, and mozzarella cheese and frozen ice cream.
It's not only eating crap, it's crazy stoned high school combinations.
Yeah.
You just taking a baby's foot and putting it in peanut butter and thinking this is going to be good. This I'm going to lick this foot clean.
You try to prepare yourself, you get rid of all the food in your house, and the next thing you know, you're eating like ketchup and wheat germ and cocoa powder, and it's the best thing ever.
You know, the only thing that's worse, I realize, because, you know, as you can count calories, the whole thing is I'm not going to stop eating pie or sweets or things I like. What I am going to try to do is enjoy it when I'm doing it. And the Ambien is right up there with you starting to eat a piece of cake or piece of pie and the phone rings. And you're like, hello? And you're eating, but trying to be quiet while you're eating. Okay. All right, I got to go. And you hang up and you look down, there's nothing on the plate. And you're like, what happened to my pie?
Yeah.
Oh, I ate it while I was having this stupid conversation with my mom. Now I'm angry because I have no recollection of eating the pie yet all the calories. That's what Ambien does to you. All right, we need to take a break because we're running behind. Lisa is going to hang with us, and she's going to give us her favorite song, her least favorite song, maybe even a little Hobo Power story. Also, play a little hypothetical question with us. David Alan Greer's coming up. Number one single, which is on E! Sunday nights, 10 o'clock. Also, the very best of Lisa Loeb. In stores, as we speak, we'll be right back after this. Yeah. Lisa Loeb is in studio. This, of course, is her beautiful music. Fetching Lisa Loeb. Cute. She knows it, though. I like the way, see, for guys, that's not a strike. For girls, it is. Like, girls will go, oh, he's hot, but he knows it. And that's a strike. The guys don't ever go, oh, she's hot, but she knows it, therefore I'm not interested. Elle McPherson, beautiful. Only problem is she knows it, so I can't F her. If she thought she was a pig, I'd get with her. And then she thinks she's beautiful, so forget it.
If she thought she was a pig, that's the way that most guys would be able to get with her. Because if she thinks she's attractive, she ain't going for you.
That's right. That's what I want. I want low self-esteem. Yeah. No, what basically...
Darn.
Your self-esteem is too high.
You have to be confident. What do you do if you're confident?
You don't date me. What you do.
Great.
Yeah.
There's a girl at a restaurant that I go to who is beautiful. She's a beautiful waitress. She's a beautiful waitress. But... her right hand is replaced by a claw. This is true.
That's what you want.
She's got a deformity. She's got
a claw.
That's
what you're looking for.
She's got a claw for her right hand. Now, normally, she would have nothing to do with the likes of me.
But
she's got
the lobster hand.
She's got the claw. She must, and she doesn't like it, I'm sure, but she knows. She has to give me some time because she's a claw hand. But you know what? She's still confident with it because she brazenly delivers food with the claw hand, heavy plates with the claw hand, and I'm thinking is like, that's admirable you do that. Could you deliver the other person's food with the claw hand?
Well, let me tell you, this is what we're all looking for. Here's what you want. Here's what you want out of life. I liken it to this. You would rather, first off, you want to be able to afford the best. And to keep the analogy going, you want to be able to go out and get the woman without the claw hand, who's just beautiful without the claw hand.
Right.
But you're not the Sultan of Brunei. You can't do that. She's not going to have you. It's the same with appliances. What you want is the beautiful Maytag Neptune series, except for you can't afford that. But if you go down to the Sears store out in El Monte, where you can find the one with the dent in the side of it, then you get the Neptune series. It just has a dent in the side of it. Still better than going with the crappy one that's in the apartment building.
I see.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what you want. You want the damage second. You would rather wear Levi's that have a weird stitch in the cuff than tough skins that were in perfect shape. That's what it is. That's
correct.
What the hot chick with the claw hand.
We're on the same page. I don't know if the women are, but
no, I have the Maytag Neptune series.
that's the
and
point.
And it's fine. It's It works well, but I also use the washer and dryer in my old apartment,
but
and
you
it's
can,
fine.
You can afford that. If you couldn't afford it and you only had $400 instead of $1,200, I'd say get the Neptune with the scratched up side that got dropped during shipping. That's what we want.
It's what's inside.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the
but you
ears.
Still have to like what's on the outside, too.
You mean the designer clothes that you're washing in it?
Yeah.
That's what you mean by inside?
Sweater from Target. Yeah, exactly.
Do you live in New York, or do you split your time between Dallas and New York?
I split my time between L.A. and New York.
Oh, you don't?
In Dallas, I go home to see my folks a lot, and get Mexican food, but... I live in L.A., too. I have a house here.
Here's a news flash. You can now get Mexican food in Los Angeles.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're starting to serve it.
Oh, that's fantastic. Is it Tex-Mex?
You know, it was traditionally Tex-Mex. All you could get was Hungarian in L.A. I grew up out here, and I was always dying. Like, is that a burrito? And a guy would just, like, a guy named Bela would laugh at me when I said burrito, and he'd say, no, goulash. I put goulash in a tortilla once. I said, no. Now they're starting because we're getting a slight influx, a trickling of Latinos coming in from across the border, mostly legal. They're starting to set up shop here, and you can get Mexican food in Los Angeles now.
Benito's fried fish tacos.
I'll tell you what I love about the Mexicans and the food, their range. For breakfast, you got the beef, you got the eggs, you got the cheese, and then for lunch, you got the beef, you got the cheese, you got the beans, you got the rice, and then for dinner, you get your choice between the beef and the rice and the beans and the cheese. But it works. Oh, and here's some tortillas.
This is my argument about...
Do you know what time it is in Mexico? You never know what time it is. Oh, I'm not... And by the way, can you live in Mexico and go, I'm not in the mood for breakfast? Well, it's dinner in a different order. What do you mean you're not in the mood for it? It's beef and cheese and tortillas. How can you not be in the mood for it?
It's the exact same thing with the Italian food. Like everything with Mexican food, a tortilla, like a chimichanga, burrito, taco. It's all the same thing. They just call it something different.
I know. Taco Bell has 160
food.
Things on their menu that are one thing.
It's all combinations.
Yeah.
Yes.
I know it.
Yeah.
And Italian food, just pasta and some sort of meat and a tomato sauce.
Yeah, but they don't do breakfast. I mean, they don't serve you spaghetti for breakfast.
Okay.
They screw it. They know everyone's drunk and sleeping until at least noon. I don't even know if they have breakfast over there. Mexicans try to pass off a breakfast menu, which is essentially just more rice, beans, tortillas, and beef. It just comes on in a different order.
It's making me hungry.
I am getting hungry.
I'm still on that Ambien from last night. I'm like, which restaurant should we go to?
Oh, she's all kittenish now. She's like,
you gotta watch out. That stuff is addicting.
I know.
It will take hold of you.
I know.
She's taking hold of me.
I know.
Some woman.
Oh, yeah.
So how's it going? Did you find a guy from the show, or do you not want to give that away?
I can't give it away. You can watch the show. It is on Sunday nights, but it's one of those things on E! Where they play it like every single day, even though they say it's on Sunday night.
How many more episodes do we have to go?
We have four more episodes to go,
mm-hmm.
and A lot of things happen. I eat a lot of donuts.
Yeah, I saw that. You went on a date with a guy. Now, what happened a few weeks ago? You went on a date with a guy. You went out. You ate some donuts. Everything was going swimmingly. Yeah. And then he ratted you out to the New York Post? Or what happened with that?
I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden in the Post on page 6, which I don't usually read, it's the gossip column, and it said that we were canoodling. And that we were dating. And that my show was going to be over soon because I already had a date or something like that. I already had a boyfriend. But I had only gone on 2 dates with this guy.
And you liked him until...
I liked him. He was really smart and funny.
He ratted you out to the Post.
I don't know if he did it or not. Somebody did.
But you went and confronted him at that book signing.
I know, because I wanted to know. I didn't want to bother his book signing. It was going really, really well.
Right.
For this book about Festivus. It's like one of those fake holiday things.
Yeah,
anyway,
but,
I don't know what happened. I don't want to say.
No more with him.
No more with him. That's for sure. I don't like drama.
Yeah.
I like drama that's fun drama. Like, are we going to get a good place in line at Disney World to get on a ride? Or which kind of ice cream are we going to get? Not like page 6 in Gossip and all that junk.
I think with women, too, they can flip a switch. They can be really into you, and then they can just find out one thing, and they can be completely turned off. I don't know if guys work that way. I think if a guy is really into you, and then something happens, maybe you call page 6, you're fine. We can look the other way. I think women can get turned off immediately, and that's it. And that's what you can do when you don't rely on the eyes quite as much as the guys do. A guy could be into a beautiful woman.
Right.
She could double cross him and still, but every time I see her, I just break down in a heap. She's so beautiful. A personality really factors in. So if you do something that's personality driven, you can be turned off immediately.
Yeah, but marriage, would you just marry somebody who's just good to look at? That disappears.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
I know, so, and then you remarry.
Exactly.
Right.
Again.
No, that's what I'm saying.
How many weddings can a person have? That's what I'm curious about. It's that now, before I was just like, oh, I'm having fun. Oh, yeah, they're fun to kiss. I should date them. Mm-hmm. And now I'm thinking, well, that's all nice, and it should be there, too, because it should be a really fun slumber party. But I also am trying to make some decisions about their character. And they can make decisions about mine. I think one of the biggest things that I've done and that other people do, I hear it all the time, is you get into a relationship and you try to change the other person. It's the oldest thing. I don't know, what's that phrase? It's too early for me. It's the oldest trick in the book.
Right.
You can't do that.
No.
Because it's just rude. It's rude to try to change somebody. You can make a suggestion, like somebody suggested to me, don't be so short when you're getting off the phone. Because I used to say, okay, thanks, bye. Mm-hmm. They're like, wait, you have to make conversation. Say, oh, it was so good to talk to you, blah, blah, blah. And they were right.
Yeah, you can make tweaks, but people are sort of, who do you know who's any different? I mean, beside the ones that got off drugs or unfortunately may have found Jesus Christ in the joint. Who do you know that's any different than they were in high school, for Christ's sake?
Everybody's the same, so you got to take people at face value, and I'm trying to learn how to do that. It's a little bit more complicated in Los Angeles, I have to say.
What happened with Dweezil? Who dumped who?
It was surprisingly a mutual breakup. No, he didn't actually. It was a mutual breakup.
Really?
Yeah, we just got to a point where we were like, what are we doing? And it was like, well, I love you. You love me. We were different people. We shouldn't be in this relationship.
Did you want to get married? Did you want to have kids with him?
I wanted to get married and have kids, and he did too. But then after we got engaged and we started thinking about it, we're like, you know what? Even though there's so many things that are right about this, it's not the right thing. It was really mature.
And you don't regret it?
No, I don't regret it.
Over and done with. But what a songsmith that young child would be. What a prodigy, you know?
With nice sideburns and glasses. Yeah.
John?
Yeah?
You have a hobo power story?
I've got the best one.
Yeah, this is a unit of stink measurement I'm trying to get started, like BTUs or kilowatts or horsepower. You tell us a story, I'll sign it a hobo power number, and then Lisa Loeb will tell us her own story. Go ahead, John. Oh yes.
Okay, I worked on one of the busiest ambulances in the country for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And we were stuck in an elevator with a man with gangrene all over both legs, stinking so bad that the pre-story before that is almost worse, but we were stuck in an elevator for about 45 minutes, and it was so unbelievably bad. And then when the sheet that was covering legs was pulled back by the nurse, there was maggots because this guy was in a home, not taking his diabetic medication, not doing what he should be doing for his diabetes,
mm-hmm.
and basically just let his legs rot to death, and his whoever was taking care of him was taking care of him poorly.
Yeah, so he, so you say maggot-infested gangrene legs
on a
live human being on an elevator, and the elevator was stuck.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and believe me, I have smelled the worst smells you can imagine, mm-hmm. and this by far took the cake. I've
okay.
worked on the busiest ambulance, and I've smelled
all right.
that.
You say this is big, and the elevator was just stuck. That was just serendipity. It just stuck. I mean, it just got jammed between floors.
We were going to the fourth floor, and it got stuck between the first and second floor, were screwed.
What month was it in?
It was in the summertime. It was pretty hot.
Pretty hot. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and give that a 61.
What?
Yeah.
I think you're going too far with this.
Too far?
Well, I think you're involving the visual element.
You're
the
right.
maggots.
You're right.
I mean, it's disgusting. There's no question. But mm-hmm. I think if you didn't have the element of the maggots.
Yeah,
not,
but confined space.
Perhaps.
Yeah. Again, Lisa, just as a unit, you know, just as a milestone for you to measure your hobo story by, a cat that was fed exclusively blue cheese defecating on a white hot hibachi is 50.
Wow. How'd they get the cat to do that?
I did it.
No way.
Well, he's a scientist.
I had my people do it. Yeah. Well, how do they do anything? I mean, they send monkeys to the moon. I surely got a cat to crap on a hibachi.
By the way, you think maggots are disgusting. I happen to know. I've talked to Mo Damashek.
I'm going to talk to her about this stupid
story. Mo Damashek, this is true. She was a nurse in the emergency room at one point, and I've confirmed this with doctors and stuff. Morbidly obese people, when they go into the emergency room,
yeah.
sometimes they'll lift up because they have to clean them. They'll lift yeah. up their fat rolls, and underneath there will be cockroaches
no.
residing in their flesh.
I got to talk. You know
wow.
what?
True. It's a true story that happens.
How is that possible?
I'll tell you how it's possible.
They'd be smashed.
A Mo Damashek, Dave Damashek's mother, told a chubby 13-year-old Dave Damashek as he helped himself to another helping of rice pudding. Oh, my son, here's a story for you. That's what happened. That's why she told you that. Believe me, I see right through her. She'll be in here, I think, on Friday. I'm going to have to ask her about that. Lisa, do you have a hobo power story?
Well, I don't have a very good hobo. Somebody just said, do you have something? What's your worst smell? Or what's mm-hmm. the worst smell? And I was thinking more in terms of brass zippers.
Brass zippers?
You know when you zip up your clothes and all of a sudden you're like, what's that smell?
Yeah,
it smells like moldy water, and then you realize it's your zipper.
But that doesn't even chart.
I know, it doesn't even chart. It's so lame.
How about Dweezil? Did he ever beef in a sauna you're in or anything? No?
No. What's a... Well, like if a rat dies in your roof, that smells kind of gross. But
yeah,
that's
but
like a two.
You've made it to 30-something and you've never experienced something horrendous?
I know. I have. I just can't... I try to...
Blocked it out.
Smells out of my...
All right, least favorite and favorite song. Then we'll move on to something
okay.
you know about.
I have to say my least favorite song. It was the first one that popped into my head. I just don't get it. It's, That don't impress me much by Shania Twain.
Oh, yeah. That's a ridiculous...
Stuff, like they talk in the
yeah.
middle. I don't get it.
Any one where they make a call out to the ladies? Come on, ladies! We're going out tonight! Then some skinny Chinese guy comes out with a mini saxophone. It's all new waved out and stuff. It's weird.
She's
right.
so cute and she's got a great voice, but why?
Any time when the smoking hot chick is singing to the fellas that here's what you're going to have to do to get me, I want to write a song where I sing to the ladies. Here's what it's going to take to love the ace man. It's going to be more than talk and cheap wine, ladies. You want to bet me?
Okay, so you're a rocket scientist. That don't
impress me. Girls,
me crazy.
It's
all right.
Chicks love this song.
It's a horrible song, but shouldn't we be blaming the stupid NASCAR fan chicks who are really into this crap and think it's great rock?
We might need to blame her husband, who I think co-wrote the song and produced it.
Yes.
It has that same feeling as some of those Def Leppard songs where they have those little breaks and all
right.
those crazy things happen.
Yeah.
That didn't happen in AC/DC. What happened to him?
Yeah, what's his name? Mutt Lange?
Yeah, I mean, he's so talented, but he puts these little breaks in these songs.
I actually feel like somebody has a tiny little spoon and is feeding me this song right now. That's
yeah.
how I feel.
Yeah.
Just, they're just shoving it, tiny little spoon, putting it in my mouth.
This is the only difference between this and that horrible Mark Anthony song for me is that one of them is sung by a what essentially looks like a wet chihuahua with sideburns, and one of them is at least good looking, so it makes it more palatable. But yes. Oh, this song is horrible. It's horrible.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. I'm down with you on this.
It's not right.
What is, what's your favorite?
My favorite new song is a song that my sister wrote that they started playing on the radio on XM and Sirius and C100 in New York.
How does that go?
It goes like this. She does dance music. There's also a ballad version, but it's
your
early in the
morning. Your sister writes dance
music? My sister's a musician. Yeah, she's super into dance music. We went to go see Paul Van Dyke in New York and all these sort of...
It's kind of Cher-esque from about 5 years ago. You don't like Cher?
That's probably an insult.
I actually do love Cher. I covered one of her songs, Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves.
Yeah.
I love Cher.
Yeah.
Old time Cher.
Yeah.
We used to make paper bag puppets out of Cher and Sonny and Cher in the 70s.
All right, but...
Here's my sister. It's a song called Far Away.
Is she singing here?
Yeah. It's going to get stuck in your head. I will tell you that.
Hold on. Gay board op Bill just did an Amel Popper, and he's now spinning around, flashing lights up in and out in the booth. All right, this is fine, but this is a little bit of an inside job here.
Right. Well, this is my sister, and it's really catchy, actually.
I'm hip,
good,
but give us a song we've all heard.
Okay, songs that you've heard. I love Kashmir.
Yeah.
Oh my God, this reminds me of the 70s. Sparkly red fingernail polish, sneaking to look at porn magazines at the drugstore.
Oh, really?
From the best of all Led Zeppelin records, Physical Graffiti, too.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the best of all Zeppelin records.
No.
I don't know if I would.
Yeah, wow. All right. Anything else?
Oh, that's so good. I also love, love, love Hall & Oates, Rich Girl.
Yes, but does it make up for Maneater? That's what I have to ask.
It does.
To me, they've tainted themselves with Maneater.
Oh, here she comes.
Forever ruined by Maneater.
This song is so good. No,
like a great surgeon who is renowned in the community and then kills his wife. All of a sudden, we don't speak his name anymore.
Rich Girl reminds me of going to Jack in the Box in the 70s.
Is a good song.
This song reminds me of... wearing Giorgio and going to the malls for the first time.
This reminds me of the cat defecating on the hibachi. Mm. Although I would rather experience that. I really would.
I guess. Does the song have hobo power, as a matter of fact?
Yes. This is a 99.
Oh, I like that. Synesthesia.
This song stinks, yeah.
Something sounds like
now
it smells really bad.
This is the equivalent to the Shania Twain song where the ladies sing about what it's going to take to impress me and what it's going to take to bed me. Guys don't do that, but they send out warnings to other guys. Look out, fellas. I've been with her. She's a gypsy woman. Fair warning. I'll do it in the form of a song.
Is it black magic?
Yeah. I'll tell you, she's got cat's eyes, 9 lives. She's a Cajun queen, possibly from New Orleans.
Maybe she just didn't like you.
No, couldn't be that. She got me possessed by the devil. Really? Maybe you guys just didn't politically see eye to eye. No, gypsy. Really? I've been dumped by 1,000 women. None of them were gypsy women. Turns out they weren't that impressed by me. All right. You're saying the Mazda pickup truck and the $7 an hour is a construction labor? Not enough? You gypsy woman! All right. Let's take a break. Lisa Loeb in the studio. Dag, David Alan Greer coming in, too. Where is Dag? Is he here? Lisa, we were going to say goodbye to Lisa, and she wants to say goodbye to us, but Dag has requested David Alan Greer,
yes.
I know you're a fan, that you hang
I
out
am,
for one more
actually.
Break.
Okay.
Number one single, by the way, on E! Sunday nights. A little more Lisa Loeb for you. 10 o'clock on E! Also, very best of Lisa Loeb, and go find her sister's dance stuff.
Seriously.
Yeah.
WLoeb.com.
That's out there, too. We'll take a quick break. Dag will be here. All that after this.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now at 866-901-ADAM. Good times.
Mm-hmm. David Alan Greer, Dag, my main man, has entered the studio. Lisa Loeb, at Dag's request, has stayed behind and...
Ooh.
I love that.
Did I request that?
Yes, you did. You're
Lisa
single.
Was cracking.
You're single, right?
Well, kind of, sort of.
Yeah. And
I'm actually dating.
But nothing. Come on, Dick. That's not going to last.
Nothing serious.
And
so you go for the chocolate, do you, honey?
I will go for anyone who is nice, kind.
I don't believe it.
I've seen your show. I've yet to see you date some guy who's bald, with glasses, a little pot belly.
I would. I'd be happy to.
But you haven't, have you? No further questions, Your Honor. I think the witness messed up. No, really, would you?
That's not fair. I totally would.
Date a black guy?
Yes.
And even though your mom would kill herself?
My mom wouldn't kill herself. If a guy is nice,
her mom
smart,
date me too,
clever.
You know what I'm saying?
She's from Texas.
Yeah.
Well, what about a Chinese guy?
Yeah.
Arab?
Yeah, I don't care. Where
Hamas.
From.
Hamas.
Well, you know I don't know about that.
Yeah, I want your daughter because I want her.
You do that? Yeah, it's a little.
African
like
tribesmen?
Maybe, if they're nice. It depends on what the personality is.
I hear you.
I'm serious.
I'm with you, baby.
You think I'm kidding?
He's nice, but you have to go live out in the Serengeti for the rest of your time.
Now, what's going on with the ex-boyfriend? What's that about?
Juan?
Yeah,
He's one of my best friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's one of my best friends.
Can I give you some advice from outside? I'm not the captain of your ship. Move on. You need to kick him to the curb because he's blocking your future progress. Number two, get rid of the glasses. I want you
really?
To know.
Really? No, yes. That's her signature.
That's why you need them. Do you want to be a new person?
I can't see without them.
Get some contacts. Half America's doing it. Pay attention.
I'm
look at me in the eyes.
Contacts.
I don't believe
I get blisters
you.
On my eyes.
High maintenance. Ooh, you hear this?
Still
high maintenance. That is impossible to get blisters on your eyes.
Let's call my eye doctor.
Let's move on. Let me ask you something.
In my
eyelids. Do you get like heavy cramps when you're on your nightly time?
No.
You don't?
No.
I was wrong about that. Number three, I want you to cut your hair.
Okay, let's go.
And number four, I want you to dye your hair. Dye it a whole different color.
It is dyed.
Because are you a new woman or not, huh? You want to go to a new place?
Also,
you want to go back.
I don't want to go back, but I don't think you have to change superficial things. I'm changing on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so why do you... So don't cut your hair.
Well,
don't pluck your eyebrows.
It's fun to get a haircut.
Hold on, Dave. Let me tell you something. It's the inside.
Go in the car and get my gun. I'm going to change things! Can we talk about more important
things?
Get out
of the car.
It's true.
Dave, relax for a second.
I got to reel it in.
First off,
I found out. At the Olympics, these people killed her. Adam, I'm going to wait my turn.
I found out through Rachel Perry that you were at Fashion Week last week in New York. What's going on over there?
My chick dragged me to two fashion shows.
Mm-hmm. On Super Bowl Sunday.
Oh, now it's true.
Egregious.
Well, I got an excuse for that. Like, I was in Detroit. You know, I was born and raised in Detroit. So I started going to Super Bowl parties, and an epiphany hit me when I was in Jimmy's green room, and my cousin Gerald was there with his wife and daughter.
Let me just explain something. Let me explain two things. Epiphany is the name of a hooker, and Jimmy's green room is a headshot.
Hey, look out! Where's the drum thing? Look out.
But keep going.
No, they're following me around, and I hooked up with some dancer friends of mine in the local area.
Shocker.
And my cousin just comes up to me with this pig in a blanket in his hand, and he goes, I wish I were you. And I follow you around.
Yeah.
And I said, I got to get out of town. This isn't working. So I left. I left to be with my beloved, and she took me to fashion shows.
I see. And you didn't miss the Super Bowl, did you? Oh, no.
I didn't. No,
you didn't.
I watched it.
Okay, good.
It was quite lively, and I loved it.
Last time I went to a strip club with David Alan Greer,
oh my God.
His stripper had mentioned to him that she's been stabbed 18 times.
Yes.
Can y'all take me to a
strip club?
I've never been to a strip club.
I'll take you to one tonight, if you are serious.
Tonight,
there's a place to meet some men. Let me tell you, honey,
I know. It's just a terrible.
You've
place
never been
to
a. You've never,
I've never been,
to, been
to a strip club.
You never been.
No,
wow.
I went to a Christina Aguilera show once.
That's not a strip club.
It's funny because David has never not been to a strip club.
He
has no idea what it's like to be outdoors.
I've hung out with strippers. I've just not been to see them work.
Well, you,
Lisa, can I tell you?
You go
I
with
wish,
Dad.
I, you know, I feel like this is starting over. You move me into your house in 7 days.
Okay.
I can radically, radically change your life. We're going to go to strip clubs.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We're
going
to go to Chocolate Sundays. Have you ever been there? That's all black comics on Sunday night.
Yeah. Okay, let's go.
Let's
all
not those black people.
Oh, dang, let's not forget the gospel brunch over at the
gospel
House of Blues.
Brunch? Come on!
Then the yeast infection you give her that night.
Ooh.
I mean, he's going to change your life, baby.
Let's not go there.
Hold on.
Speaking of hobo power.
What do you got? You got a good hobo power story, Dag?
I do. I have a very good hobo power story.
All right, I'll tell you what. We need to take a break. We're running a little bit late.
Mm.
Lisa. Yeah, Lisa's going, right?
I'm going.
Or do you want to hang with Dag?
What time is it?
She's going to go.
I want to hang out, but I got to go work out.
got to go work out.
Yeah, you know, I ate all night. It's time
but
to
it's,
work out.
It's what's on the inside really? That counts, baby. It's not on the outside.
Chocolate and almond butter. Oh,
it's
almond.
The inside
chocolate.
Guys focus on.
That's true. It's the inside.
All right.
Inside.
Yeah.
Well, then we'll say goodbye to Lisa Loeb. Number one single, her show on E, 10 o'clock Sunday nights. And the very best of Lisa Loeb in studios, or I should say in stores as we speak. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you. And I'll see y'all at the strip clubs.
Good luck in your search, honey. Think about alt.com. Go on there. You might find someone.
We'll take a quick break. David Alan Greer, DAG, will be back after this.
You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. He's so hot.
Here we go. Yeah, everybody. Quick word to the wise. When I yell, here we go.
Whoa.
Don't throw anything?
No, just put the headphones on because here we go. DAG is here, my main man, David Alan Greer, dear, dear friend.
Boy, it's cracking, buddy.
Ontario Improv, Thursday.
Oui.
Thursday through Sunday.
Si.
This Thursday through Sunday. Si. And I've seen DAG do stand-up. And first off, what can't DAG do? He's a great...
He can sing.
He can sing. Dance. He's a great
he
actor.
He's a great
lesbian. Yes.
Yes.
So much talent.
Wow, she's in deep trouble, that one.
Such wasted.
You have it bad for her, though. Yes, DAG?
Who?
For Loeb.
Are you kidding me? First of all, she's 100. Okay? If she can squeeze out a kid, I'm a white man.
Oh.
Give me a break.
Oh, my God.
What are you, high on crack cocaine? Give me a break.
I misread the signals. I'm sorry.
And already she's high maintenance.
I have thing on my eye. I have blisters on my eye. You know what's going to happen. No oral sex. I gag and my tongue has a curl, a deformation.
Yeah.
No doggy style. My uterus is tipped. I can't cook because my fingers are curved.
Listen. DAG needs essentially the sexual equivalent to a catcher's mitt. He needs something durable.
Go.
He needs something you can...
Hold it. Put it up there.
Yeah. How's that? Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, over that fast.
Let me get my
That's how it is.
Is that the lovemaking?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Get off of me. You're killing me.
Passionate.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Passionate.
I don't think Lisa Loeb could handle Daggeroni. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think.
Some of this chocolate loving.
Yeah, that's a little too much Dag for her. I think you're right. I think you would overpower her.
Every morning I wake up.
Yeah, you sleep. All right. Scoot down. All right. You cool? Are you all
right? Man, I'm late for work.
Yeah, Adam! I'm on my way!
Every single morning.
Jeez.
Yeah. Can we talk about these Olympics? You know, I said that I would not watch them, Adam, because you know I'm an emotional man. I get highly charged.
Well,
overwrought.
I was watching Inside Sports, and Brian Gumbel gave the call for all blacks not to watch the Olympic Games because there's not enough brothers doing the luge this year.
Oh,
so
get out of here.
He really did. Brian Gumbel basically said at the end of his last Inside Sports on HBO. Is that the right show? Am I getting
Real
it right?
Sports.
Real
yes.
Sports,
well,
yes.
Inside Real Sports.
Right, Inside Real Sports. He just basically said, this is a sham, and there's no brothers represented, and I'll not be watching.
Really?
And, yeah. And what if Whitey did that to the NBA?
Well, you have.
Not enough
it was
red
called the first,
guys.
Yeah, it's called the first two, the first two-thirds of the NBA history, no black people.
Yeah,
I think I scored one there, huh? Who's keeping score?
All right.
One for Blackie.
Black History Month, geez, I'm not going to argue with you.
It is,
All right, so what happened at the Olympics, Dag?
History Month. It's the month that my history is talked about. They sing about it, show pictures of my people. It's black history month, February. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Rachel, I wish we were on television because your puzzled look toward me right now is so frightening. What'd you say? The Olympics?
Dag, yes. What happened?
Don't get me started. Beautiful Michelle Kwan.
She's
this country's princess.
Delicate, yeah.
She's this country's princess. Yeah.
She pulled her little groiny muzzle, and I can tell you, that is no picnic.
I didn't even know chicks had groins until the Olympics.
They do.
That's what happened to Jillian Barbary.
That's right.
Skating with the Stars. With Michelle Kwan.
Yeah, she's out.
She is out. What is there to hope for? Nothing. I guess I'll root for Bodie.
Yeah, I think he may be out, too.
He's got two more. He's got three more things.
Let's take a little break. Dag, do you have a hobo power story?
Man, do I ever. Ooh, Lord. Shall I break into it right now?
Give us the first, just a little
flavor. I'll put it like this. During a major heat wave in the middle of Manhattan about 15 years ago, it involves a dead body.
All right, good enough. I'll tell you mine. I have a good construction hobo power story.
I think mine beats yours already.
Oh, we'll see. Okay. And just promise me you won't vomit when I'm telling you my story.
I will not. I just want you to promise.
All right, we'll take a quick break. David Alan Greer here. Ontario Improv, Thursday through Saturday. I should say Sunday. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with him. News, sports, all that after this.
This is Caroline Ray. Call Adam Carolla now at 1-866-901-ADAM, and he will put you on hold.
Mm-hmm. Dag, David Alan Greer.
What's cracking?
Also known as my main man.
Hey!
Going to be at the Ontario Improv Thursday through Sunday.
Yeah.
This Thursday through Sunday.
Yeah.
Dag is going to tell us his hobo power story.
Ooh.
Also, he's going to read from the Star Jones book. Denise has a question for Dag. Denise?
Hi, Dag.
Hey, baby.
Hey, I saw you at the Brea Improv.
I'm sorry about that.
It was so good. But hey, I wanted to know why you're so angry at us women this morning.
I'm not. I was trying to help this lost child that was sitting next to me. Do I sound angry?
Yeah, you sound angry. And, you know, I thought you loved all of us women.
Well, I don't love all of you, just like you don't love all men. And by the way, Lisa's crazy. We're all not beautiful. We all know that. We're all not beautiful.
Dag, you're a little... Well, it's funny, because women always focus on the what's inside part. Yeah, I don't care if there's dead hamsters in you. If you're hot, I'm down with it. And I speak for all men.
Absolutely.
Sad, but true.
Yeah, I took this chick to Africa. We were in South Africa. She's sitting there going, South Africa's cool. What's with all these guys with the guns and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, you got to go.
Yeah.
To the lions. Honey, why would you say I'm angry?
No, hold on, just for a second. You're angry.
Could you excuse me just for a second?
Screwed up for Valentine's Day.
Just hang on.
Hey, Rachel.
Hang on for a second.
Yeah.
Did I tell you how beautiful you are?
Yeah.
Inside.
I don't think you did.
I love you.
I love you, too.
Hey, let's go on with the show. I'm sorry, Denise, what were you saying?
Yeah.
I really love you.
No, here it goes, Adam.
Can we?
What would it be
touch
like?
Touch me.
If I touch you, I'm not going. I got you now. Why are you pulling away? Why are you pulling away? Come here.
You like it when I play like that? Harder.
Just wait.
Harder.
I don't know.
David.
Whoa, yeah.
I didn't get to.
Oh, what is it? Where are my pants? This is how it... What are you complaining about?
This isn't working out.
I'll be back later. Goodbye.
Dave, let me give you a safety tip. You should never receive oral while driving.
Wow.
Because I could see you just passing out.
I did.
You're going down PCH 70 miles an hour.
Denise, I'm not. I love women. I really do.
Yeah, okay.
I love women.
He's a huge fan.
I do. Did you think I was angry at Lisa? I just don't believe it.
Oh, come on.
Oh, please.
She's sweet. But
she's cute. Okay.
Here's the thing about her. She's cute and she's talented and she definitely knows it. She understands.
Yeah. Okay.
And she knows she wants a certain kind of guy and she deserves him.
But what kind of guy? Right?
I don't want her.
She wants a particular guy called not black. Sorry, Dave.
Not fat, not bald, not poor.
Mainly
not
black,
short,
Dave. I'm sorry. She told me off
the short,
air.
Not short, not short and
she
girth.
She used the N-word. I didn't want to bring it up.
Nincompoops. Nincompoops.
Well, wasn't that.
Not Asian, not Arab, not Turkish. What shall I go on?
Well, most of the people, men and women, who do that, you can never, if you ever say to anyone, do you just date one kind of, no. I'm open to everything. I'll date. I don't care where you're from. I don't care what your religion is. I don't care what your race is. Have you ever dated a black? No. How about an Asian?
Not yet.
No.
Yeah, it's like, well, Grandma, how old are you? 70.
I date the Italians. Those are the blacks really? Of the whites.
Yes.
Really.
Wow.
Or
thank
the
you.
Canadians. The blacks of the Canadians.
All I'm saying is no one will just basically say, right. look, I'm just not open to other cultures when it comes to dating. Call me uptight, but I like right. my blonde dudes or my red-haired guys or whatever it is I like. Everyone yeah. says they're wide open, yet they've never dated anyone yeah, from another culture.
I just like, you know... Fat ass Mexican girls. You know, that's basically what I'm into. You know, I ain't gonna step to Rachel because she's not. You know, she's not my flavor. You know, not what I'm feeling. You know how I roll, señorita, señorita. You know, strictly. Hey now, oh, I love this music. Look out, my nature rising, baby.
Make you think of the ladies.
Man, I met this girl at a midget rodeo last year. Pico Rivera.
Wow.
I was named the first baby. Pico Rivera.
What does it sound like when you get with the ladies?
Come, please, let's move on. Please,
all right.
Enough.
All right.
I've already been accused of being angry. I'm a romantic. Now, Rachel, you asked me, did I mess up yesterday?
And Valentine's Day, yeah, you have a lady.
Short term, honey.
Yeah, how did that turn out?
It was fine. Everything arrived there, and I got bonus points because my flowers and candy got to her workplace. Mm-hmm. Number one, not the home. You got to send them to the workplace because the chicks like to show off, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it got to her workplace first thing in the morning.
So got to the massage parlor right away.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes. And she said in whatever language you call it. I don't know what it is. My honey bunny, you know, gave me something special.
You can only assume.
Dag, yeah. do you have your hobo power story that we were talking about?
I do.
What is that?
Let's fasten our seatbelts. All right, I'm going to take you back. About 15 years ago, living in New York City, massive heat wave. It was like 95 degrees, middle of August.
Sticky.
Yeah.
Sticky.
I'd been out of town, and I'd been on a five-day fast. You know, five-day fast, body cleanse, and all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I came back to my apartment, and I opened the closet door of this, like, railroad apartment. It was split into two apartments.
Mm-hmm.
And this smell knocked me to my knees. Immediately.
Hot and sticky in the apartment. The air had
already
been on.
Weak dude. From hunger.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, dude. I crawl out of my building, and I'm just hawking, just dry.
Nothing to hawk up. Yeah. Nothing to bring up.
The 300-pound man who lived in front of me had died in a diabetic coma 3 days before, and they left him locked in the apartment. It was bad.
Wow.
It was bad. Never. And I never smelled a dead body, but you know immediately, dead body.
You knew it wasn't a possum or a cat.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't some bad cooter.
Yeah.
No, it was.
I get you. Yeah, it hits it's a part of your reptilian brain that
absolutely.
Just knows.
Yeah. Beep, 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 beep.
Right. Dead
so
body
the police
alert.
Came, yeah, the police came and they opened the door and the guy was swollen all like on the bed and all like gray, white, and ugh, it was horrible.
They let you in? You got to look at it?
No, but when someone's dead, that's not an emergency. To the police. If you notice during Katrina, they're like, well, they're dead. They ain't going nowhere.
Right.
So they just came in and kicked the door open and left it open. And, you know, it's New York. You know me. I was next door. I was like, you know, I got to go to the grocery store. And so I caught a glimpse of the guy, cooked me right back. My stomach was like, send something up there.
That's a solid, that's a high 30s, low 40s type hobo story. Well, he wasn't in the same room with the guy. Paper-thin walls.
Oh, yeah.
Morbidly obese, heat wave, all good stuff, but not in the same room with the guy.
All right. Well, all right.
A 50 is a cat defecating on a white-hot hibachi.
How close are you?
I'm right over it with a bag over my head, like I'm using a vaporizer.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. 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 Okay. All right.
Let me tell you my hobo power story.
All right. Bring it on.
I used to do earthquake rehab out in downtown L.A. in these old buildings, and they had this subsidized living. Essentially, a lot of crazy people who couldn't pay their own rent, so the government would give them single apartments and ask them for $100 a month, and they'd pay the extra other $500 to the slumlord that owned the place. And there was like 50, 60-unit buildings, and we had to go into every single unit, and we had to earthquake-proof the entire place. So we'd be going into old Shaky Jake's apartment, who had a huge can of bacon fat. One guy, everyone was old, and everyone was nuts, and everyone stunk. And there's the only thing that smells more than the old guy is the poor guy who's crazy and old and living in the subsidized units, and it's during the summertime. There was one guy who clipped every panel from the missing kids on the milk carton box and had them stacked up.
That is
three rows deep, 10 wide, all the way up to the ceiling. Every single half gallon of milk this guy consumed in the last 20 years, he cut the panel of the missing kid out. God knows what
he
was doing.
Did you ask him? I'd have to ask him. What was up?
Well, when you're nuts, what's up doesn't mean anything.
You don't want to know.
Yeah, you think you're Napoleon. Yeah. Who the hell knows? So these horrendous. One guy would defecate in a bucket, and I'm now starting to think that because of its more liquid-esque form, it was his colostomy bag that he would empty into this bucket. But for some reason, he would defecate into a 5-gallon bucket. Now,
Adam, excuse me, I want to step out. Okay.
Okay. I'm sorry if this is too much, but I now was doing my finish work, and I had my table saw all set up in the back of the apartment building.
Geez, somebody locked the door.
And some guys from the crew, pranksters from the crew, removed the guy's bucket, put it by me and my table saw, and hid it. They camouflaged it behind
some wood. Hold on real quick. I think David did
it. Dave, I'm sorry if you can't stomach this, brother. But I have to I have to continue.
What happened?
Well, what happened was is they hid this bucket of liquid man behind my table saw. Just mere
can you just hold on?
It's cool, Dave. This is cool. If you don't want to, you don't listen, take your headphones off. This is 2 feet away from my table saw, but the sound of the table saw is loud and they've hid it behind some wood. Then they got up onto the 5-story roof of this apartment building behind the little parapet wall, and it was a sheer cliff. It was straight down to me, right in the back of the place. It was one of these old apartments. There's about 10 foot in the back where you would hang your clothes. There I was milling my wood, and they were dropping steel bolts off of the thing. This is what construction has into the bucket of waste. And each time, Dave, you okay?
Oh God!
Each time it hit the bucket, it would splatter everywhere, but I couldn't hear anything because the table saw was going.
Shut up!
And I would just stop and look around and go, "What is going on? What is this horrible?" Dave, splatters of fecal matter abound. It was like it was like spin art with fecal matter.
That is nasty. Get away from me.
Stop. We all have everybody. Give me
it's
kiss,
like,
honey.
There's chunks in there. It's like bile.
Give me some Rachel.
Don't kiss me. Dance your tongue out of my mouth.
All right, Dave, please, let's focus
I'm back. Oh, jeez.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm all right. Sorry. Sorry, Rach. I'm sorry.
Does anyone have a wet nap?
You accept my apology?
Let me ask you this.
Yeah. Some Listerine.
Is there a woman alive that would do this to a coworker? Is there a woman on the planet that would get a bucket of fecal matter and hide it by a guy's workplace and drop bolts in it from 5 stories so it splattered all over the place?
That's like a woman taking a used tampon and shoving it in your wallet and carefully putting it back in your pocket, and they're all by the coffee.
That's hilarious.
Hey, Adam, it's your girl from Mailroom.
No, chicks don't think that way.
Yeah.
Had I thought of that, I might have done it.
Ooh. And
sure.
It's sad, but if there was a guy, if Cousin Sal, Jimmy's Cousin Sal, used a tampon, he would immediately use it as a mace or a weapon on his friends at any given time, and hundreds of times, easily.
Oh,
all right, let's take ourselves a little break. Daggeroni.
Yes,
the San Francisco treat. Hang out with us. I want to hear your favorite song. I'm going to hear your least favorite song. Also, you're going to be reading from Star Jones.
It's a day of literature.
News, sports, all still coming up.
KUFO.
Dag is Dag's going to do a couple things for us. A, he's going to tell us his favorite and least favorite songs.
I am cocked and loaded, buddy.
He's also going to read from the Star Jones book, Shine. I know you're a fan.
I've read it twice. Hello.
So you just memorized?
Well, I live my life by it. Actually, this is my audition piece. Yeah, it's my audition piece I'm going to read you.
Oh, wow.
I read for this pilot yesterday, and I use this.
Okay. So let's start with favorite song.
Well, I think that's pretty simple. I'm going to go old school. Mm-hmm. When you say favorite song, this has got to be a barn burner, a party starter. When you're in your darkest mood, you put it on, and in less than 5 minutes, everything is good again.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. Oh, Johnny Guitar Watson, real mother for you. Come on.
I'm smiling already.
That's a good time. Yeah.
Life's a ball. Ah, oh,
What year is this from, Dad?
I don't even know. It's like I was a little kid, so it's got to be the 70s because the guy has a pimp suit and he's riding in a mechanical car on the cover of the album.
Oh! Young child growing up in Detroit.
Wanna buy a new car?
Ow! Johnny, guitar!
Having sex with the neighbor chicks and falling asleep.
How dare you? How dare you? Yeah, I love this song.
Now, what did you think you were going to do? Did you always want to act? Did you always want to entertain?
No. Man, when I was in high school, actors, those were the effeminate guys who appeared in Godspell. You know,
right.
Like wore tights and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, never, ever. Jesus Christ Superstar, a lot of productions of that.
Right.
West Side Story, you know. Of course, he was black and white in Detroit.
What did you?
There was a major.
Sharks were black and the Jets were white.
There was a major brouhaha when a local elementary school did Wizard of Oz, and only the black kids were the flying monkeys.
No, you didn't. No, you. Latron, get up. Take them wings off. No, this ain't happening here, baby. This is not happening here. This is not right. It's not right. You can be Dorothy, the Wicked Witch of the West, but you ain't gonna be no monkey.
Come on. Someone should have thought that one out.
I know. Who's the school? The school principal. Good. Yeah, I rubber stamped this one. Go ahead. Let's put it up. Yeah. That was on all the news broadcasts.
Yeah.
You're kidding me. That's awesome.
I'm not kidding you.
But you did a lot of musicals as well, right?
I didn't start acting till like I was in college and I dropped out. I took a year off. I moved to New York, and I wanted to be a songwriter and stuff. And then I started hanging out with people who were, like, at the actor's studio, and they were all, like, serious, you know, like, hey, what's up, man? Mm. Well, you can sing your little songs, but I'm starting to sing, if you don't mind.
Very serious acting.
Absolutely. Times. So they recruited me, like, as if I were in a cult. And once I started doing acting, because I figured I could grow old and be an actor. Mm-hmm. You can't grow old and be a rock star. You really don't. Rachel, is that attractive to date like a 38-year-old guy who's in a band that hasn't made it yet?
No.
Yeah. Well, see how firmly? No.
Right.
No.
Rachel, would you sleep with me and my friend?
No.
There you go. See? Same timbre. No. No.
It's not only a negative, it's an annoyed negative.
An annoyed and all-encompassing, like, no, this will never happen as long as I live on this planet.
Yeah, you know, I've gotten the no from chicks that it's not only no, but it's annoyed that you even asked.
Right. Even when you're like up, like, you know, say we meet in a bar and I'm trying to close the deal. Say, hey, baby, won't you let me get them digits?
No.
The next sound is.
So Young Dag on the streets of Detroit City, on the prowl, listen to this. Now, what song is your least favorite song?
Okay, again, this least favorite song is the song that makes those little hairs on the back of my neck crinkle up. I don't care if I'm having the best night of my life. When they put on Shake That Thing, Sean Paul, I can't.
Yeah! Put him up somewhere. Yeah! Take it off.
Oh, take it off.
No black shadow.
I confess. Please put the electrodes on my testicles. Please, I beg of you. Pull my teeth. I demand to be tortured. I will make out with Richard Simmons. Shall the dog poop under my table? Stop it! I can't take it!
You hate this song.
They're really getting to the best part. Okay, stop.
All right, he's melting. Melting like the witch he flew around in junior high.
Yeah, all right. I hate it.
Sorry, Dag. I don't want you to have a seizure.
Actually, it's supposed to be Shake That Thing, man. Shake That Thing, man. Shake That Thing, man. Shake That Thing, man. All right, okay, stop. I confess. Stop.
Dag is highly evolved. He likes you like a fair amount of like classical music and jazz and stuff like that, right?
If I'm trying to impress somebody, I'll throw some jazz on there.
Right.
You know, John Legend.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's great.
Yeah, he is great.
Yeah, I like him.
All right,
like,
so Dag,
not too heavy.
Dag, also, you were telling us or promised you do a little reading from the Star Jones book, Shine.
Yeah.
Now, are you going to do it as Maya Angelou?
If you insist.
That would be nice.
I would like to read today, Chapter 7, Sex and Dating in a Moral Context. How I Met Al. I looked up and was florid. Freedom. This handsome man with skin the color of cooked butter. This man with the most beautiful lips I'd ever seen. A Clark Gable jawline and the deepest, brownest eyes on the planet softly continued what he started to say, which was, I'm a homosexual. I saw you once at a party 5 years ago and was too hesitant to approach you because I was wearing a dress. But this time, I'm braver. Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you, sir.
Powerful.
Wow.
David Alan Grier, Maya Angelou, reading between the lines of Shine, the Star Jones book. That is some fantabulous work, Dak.
Can I say that, Rachel, you are able to convey that same no just with a look? He's looking at me right now with her eyes going, no.
No.
I just worked all day. You think I can get a hug?
No.
Wow.
Who do you think you're least attracted to in this room? Or most.
You?
I mean,
you.
It's a tough.
You're the old. There's only one girl here.
This is I'm asking Rachel. It's a tough.
Oh,
it's a tough batch.
I was saying, like, what the heck?
I know this is sort of. This is the.
Wow.
This is a tough pick for you. Wow. I mean, if you had to go home with one guy,
should I put an order on here?
So I'm just saying. Yeah. Work the order because I know you're not remotely attracted to anybody in this room physically, but still, if you had to put an order,
why you
to
got
it,
such a low self esteem, Adam? Why you gotta? And not just for yourself, a low self esteem on behalf of everybody in the room.
The thing, I'll tell you the thing that's nice, really, about being a guy, which is a guy because women focus on not only looks, but they focus on other elements, personality and attitude and vibe and just stuff that's sort of intangible stuff. If a woman isn't attracted to you, it's usually okay. She just doesn't dig your vibe. She doesn't get your jokes or whatever it is, oftentimes. When a guy says, I'm not attracted to a woman, it usually means she's unattractive. He's not attracted to her because she's not attractive. So we can all hold our heads up and still be delusional and feel like we're physically attractive, even though you're not attracted to us because you don't like whatever else.
Do you know that this woman, she dressed herself as a man and wrote a book about this. For a whole year, she posed as a guy. And she said the number one thing that was the most shocking to her, she thought if she was a guy, she could sleep with whoever she wanted because guys were different.
You're talking about the guy Star Jones married?
No.
Is this someone else?
No, but this is a real woman. So she said the one thing that was amazing to her is how many times guys get shot down by chicks.
Yeah.
And they just take it on the chin. She was devastated because she really was a woman inside. But guys are like, so I'm fat and ugly. Hey, you're lost.
Yeah,
they're off and running.
We don't mind. No. So, Rachel, what do you think? Can you put an order to it? There'll be no hard feelings.
Right.
You say that now.
I got three words for you, Rachel.
If I don't put you first.
Oh no, ask, I don't have any.
Rodeo.
I don't have any of that. You can
ask his rodeo
automatically, instantly, with no baggage.
Joey Fresca just like Rachel.
He's trying to bump it up. He's like, hey baby, I should have said.
Yeah.
All right. All right.
Start at the bottom and work your way up to the top, please. Yes.
I'm going to go. It's a tie between Dave and Mike. Let me see.
There's two Daves.
Wow.
There's two Daves.
Not you. Not you, baby. Not you. Not you. All right. The beard and the fish element. I'm going to have to put Mike Lynch at the bottom.
He does smell.
Oh, Tad, you mean the band. Tad's upset that he's not at the bottom. Tad, you're not in the room.
Tad, that goes without saying.
Tad, you're number one, of course.
All right. So Mike Lynch. He's the caboose of the train.
This is so
now,
weird.
Let's get to the dining cart.
Who's that?
Who's that?
He's trying to vote for this.
I think
what do you think?
All right, I'll go with Dave next.
Dave next.
Well, let me just say something to you here. First of all, this is jive. Obviously, Brusca would never finish ahead of me. But listen,
I don't like bald guys. I'm sorry.
Secondly,
That's a guy. See?
And secondly, the things I would do to you. Let me tell you something. The things I would do to you, we would have to put blindfolds on those tattooed birds that guard your vagina.
Wow. You could never conquer me,
Dave. Wow, like a falconer.
Whoa, there's a lot of smack talking over there.
All right. Now, listen. Wow. Here's the thing. Rachel's being very courageous, I should say, in giving her answers and creative. We cannot judge. You may continue.
I'm allowed to go.
Wait, yes. You know what's frightening is that she didn't miss a beat. She's like, this all goes back to no.
Yes.
Very honest.
Now,
continue
Mike,
on.
Mike is last. Is Bruska's second? Where's Dave second?
No,
Dave second. I'm sorry.
Let's see what she says.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Be honest.
All right. No, maybe I got to trade out Bruska for Dave.
Of course you do. That's ridiculous.
Wow. Positive.
Well, yeah, it's the sex
talk. How did I just go down?
Because he talked to
she thought about it.
I haven't changed my look.
She looked at you. That's how you went down.
Exactly.
She turned to the right. That's how you went
Bruska's,
down.
I like Bruska's glasses, but I don't know. I can't. You know, you guys are really, is a very mean.
How did I move down?
Angie, that's you stop laughing out there.
Keep it going. You're halfway
all
through.
Right,
you're
so
halfway home, honey.
So I guess now it's a top. I know, black
I
don't
keep
crack,
the
huh?
Myth alive. You know what I'm
yeah,
saying?
But I thought this was just to sleep with.
I'm packing
not
some
forever.
Chocolate. I'm packing some.
Well, this is not just a one night stand, but this is
ooh,
sort of.
Well, wait a minute.
Oh, did I paint it that way? I'm sorry.
This is forever.
Pure sexual.
Didn't you say you dated Italian men, by the way?
Yeah.
No.
Nick's Italian.
Hold on a second.
He's a Guido.
But wait a minute. I thought you said who would you sleep with, not who would you marry. That's a whole different criteria.
All right. First off, I just mean overall attraction. I don't mean
don't
marriage, and I don't mean a one-night stand. Just general attraction.
You just want to know who makes it to the top.
That's right.
That's
so
what
got,
you want to know.
We got Mike Lynch at the bottom. Is Damashek second? Second from the bottom?
Yeah.
Yes.
And then Bruska.
I mean, it's so ridiculous.
All
and
right.
By the way, is it a shocker that the two celebrities are the two top guys, whether it's Corolla or Dag?
Hey, don't
what
hate.
A shock.
Hey, don't
well,
hate.
Well, it's a factor. It factors in. It's not
with everybody.
You're right.
Not with everybody.
Right.
There's a lot of hot chicks who would go right to well, not him.
Right to Tad. Right. He's
no,
a bigger
I'm
celebrity
go
than
go.
Anyone.
All right.
Go, honey.
Let's
come
keep
on
going.
Home to Papa Bear. Come
it's
on.
Okay,
come
Dave.
All right.
Just because
you know what?
I won't
I choose,
have you.
I'd rather sleep with Bruska than you two.
I think everybody in this room can say that.
Wow.
So I got to pick between you.
Yes. Yes. That's all you have to do.
Dave, honey.
I don't know. I know you're a loyal man, Adam.
Yes. I'm good, and I'm handy around the house.
And you're handy, I know.
Very handy.
And you're handy, and you're funny.
Yeah, you'd never have to open the phone book to call anyone over to the house. I would take care of it.
And you're literally, I mean...
Literally a millionaire.
I know.
Dag.
I don't know, but Dag's not...
So wait a minute.
Dag would climax and fall asleep on you.
I know.
No, that's not true.
It
can
is
I plead
true.
My case? Can I plead my case?
And you know...
Wait a minute. Rachel,
I'll tell you
I have just studied... The art of vulva massage. Honey, let me tell you something. I build a condo in your cooter. Now listen to me. I would get to know your clitoris better than members of my family.
Wow.
Family?
Wow.
But the thing
family.
Is, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to put Adam at the top and I'm going to tell you why.
Good move. I'll tell
because
you.
Because if I ever decided that I wanted to cheat on you.
Wow.
Once you go black, you never go back. I couldn't cheat on Dag.
There you go. Unless you went with another black guy.
That's true.
Oh, no, he would be the last.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Rachel.
You know
your
why,
candor
Rachel?
Is appreciated.
I have
candor,
to leave.
Candor, nothing.
It took a
she
lot of guts.
Where
it took
you
a lot of guts.
I get to leave. You need to work here every day, honey. You know what I'm saying? Ask Kiss Rodeo.
It took a lot of guts, Rachel Perry.
This was a setup. This really was a setup. Good
it's
move.
Really refreshing. That kind of honesty on the radio is
I want a lie
refreshing.
Detective. Good
All right, let's take ourselves a break. Again, she's picking from the cellar here.
No one's
even made it to the ground floor, but what are you going to do? It's within the room.
It's true.
Dag, hang out because we're going to do some news, and we're going to do some sports, and we'll do it after this.
You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Yeah. David Alan Greer, dang, my main man in studio. We got news, we got sports, but I was also reminded that it's Black History Month.
Black History Month. It's the month when the chocolate people are talked about. They talk about, you learn about what's going on with the black people in the world. February. Black History Month.
Russ, could please quit singing so we can move forward with the show. It's rude to our guest to just sit there while you sing about Black History Month in front of him.
Yeah, man.
Now, Jerron, who was our black intern, although you wouldn't know it from listening to him or even looking at him, he is in fact black, but he's missing that component.
Well, what would that component be? I'm looking at Jerron. He's chocolatey brown.
What's up? He's actually blacker than David Alan Grier.
He is. His skin is, but his soul is lily white.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
His soul is
white. Why would you say that? Because he's well spoken?
Mm-hmm. I know what you're trying to do.
Because
here,
he grew up in a moneyed home. That's a racist comment, is what you're saying. All black people don't sound like Katrina victims, okay?
All I'm saying is, I'm not the guy who broke down and gave in to pressure from the guards on the lot and got some rims on his Denali.
Hey,
that's
man,
I had to.
Right, it was a new truck. I had to. Never mind.
That's my point. The point is we thought for Black History Month, you might be able to help Jerron soul it up just a little bit, you know?
So, Jerron, just I want you to step to the mic and tell me in your own natural voice your name and say what your favorite color is.
Where are you from, too?
I'm closing my eyes for the audience because I just want to evaluate. Go ahead, please.
All right, my name is Jerron. I'm from Placentia down in Orange County, and my favorite color is blue.
Oh, boy.
Ain't nothing I could do, man. Ain't nothing I could do. Jerron, now let's spitball a little bit. All right. Now, Jerron, when you really get angry, say, David, I'm going to knock you out. And and this is you at the height of anger. Go ahead. Closing eyes. Go ahead.
Close eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, yo, David, I'm going to knock you out.
Wow. That wasn't bad.
All right.
Little improvement?
Yeah. I bought it.
No. Where do we go? I'm just going to give you something simple.
Mm-hmm.
What's up? Try that.
What's up?
No. Try that.
I'm more black than you, John.
What's up? Say, what's up?
What's up?
Okay, if you were going to compliment Rachel on a part of her body, how would you say? Well, just look at her and say, you know.
Hey, girl, you packing.
No. I'm white and I'm offended.
Now listen to me.
What am I packing?
Right here. Yo, Rachel.
Yeah.
I'd like to tattoo that ass. You see what I'm saying?
Hey, Rachel. I'd like to tattoo that ass.
No, that
draw
was...
it out. Tattoo that ass.
Tattoo that ass.
Try to give me what I want.
Give me what I want.
Okay, do it again. Give me what I want.
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 Swallow the last word. Give me what I want.
Give me what I want.
Get him out of my sight.
All right. You sickened.
I can't do anything with this man.
Yes, you sickened. Negroni. I'm sorry.
Let me tell you something. There's all shades of black and brown, okay? Okay, you black on the inside. Mm-hmm. What Adam doesn't realize is Bobo, the white man, or Mr. Corolla.
Mm-hmm.
The oppressor never lets you forget who you are. Am I right, brother?
Preach on.
That's right. So bleep, be black, and know that this is your month, and you only have about,
28 days.
Yeah, the shortest month of the year.
Could we hear a little Jerron singing? By the way, maybe that would help sway David Alan Grier.
Jerron, hit something, man.
Sure, we got it.
Yo, Big Tat.
Yeah.
Let's kick it.
Oh, Jerron the intern.
Oh, boy.
Jerron the intern.
All right, stop. Collaborate and listen. Jerron's on the mic with my introduction. You might know me as the guy who really sucks ass kids rodeo. I wake up every morning at 4 and drive 45 minutes to come get more education for the best talk show.
All right, stop it. Let me ask you, Rachel. Let me ask you something, really. Like, okay, so we have an additional man in here.
Yeah.
If you're going to go chocolatey brown, would you go with more of the Jerron or more like, say, 50 Cent?
Oh, I don't know. No, I was going to say, yeah. I mean, I don't sleep with black guys. Of course I sleep with Jerron.
Yes.
Of course. I mean, please.
Oh, God bless you. God bless her honesty.
Jerron, I want you to go out in the hall and practice your what's up and tap that ass and a few things like that. And you can
tattoo
come back in. Yeah, tattoo. Yeah. Focus on that because Mr. Greer is very disappointed in you.
Say, hey, hell yeah.
I did, Jerome.
All right,
you do have
we?
A name, though. He does have a chocolatey brown name.
I know. It makes it even more confusing.
Yeah.
We taking a break, Brusca? Where are we at?
We only
coming
have
back?
About 3 minutes left in the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we were going to do news and sports, but obviously.
Do news and sports. Come on. Let's get into this Olympics.
Let's do the world's fastest news and sports. Here we go.
Things are worse for Cheney because after the guy that he shot had suffered a heart attack after one of the pellets got lodged in his heart, yada, yada. PETA sent him a letter saying that he should pick up tennis instead of hunting. Bull Terrier won the Westminster Dog Show. Tom and Katie might be breaking up, but they say that they're not. CBS is denying that Van Halen's going to be the next rock star band that they're looking for a singer. Shannon Doherty got into a car accident. Lou Ferrigno is now an L.A. County Sheriff's Department Reserve Deputy, and here he is talking about the experience.
It's always been a dream of mine to be involved in law enforcement, so I went through the rigorous training, like the firearm, the e-bomb driving, and the background check, the training, the fundamentals, and the whole scope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. How's that going to work when he reads someone their Miranda rights?
I don't know. Doesn't he sound like someone?
He sounds a little like Def Rat Guy, yeah.
Why did everybody keep comparing me to Lou Ferrigno?
See, it's ironic because he's never heard Lou Ferrigno. He just thinks he has a great physique. Sad.
Well, I'm Rachel Perry, and that's the news for now.
Fabulous. It's time.
We don't have time for the whole thing.
Olympic update.
Very quickly, Olympic update. 5 gold medals for the U.S. of A. Bodie Miller lost. Todd Ligety, he won.
21 years old. Yeah.
Clippers lost last night. Seattle lost last night. Kings won. Wayne Gretzky, he's over in Torino with his wife and the Canadian team, and that's that.
Wow.
That was beautiful.
Well, I want to thank the great David Allen Greer for
thank
coming
you.
In.
You
should do that once a week.
I want to thank Speed Teron. News.
Once
Teron,
a week.
Beltran.
Dang, it's going to be at the Ontario Improv Thursday through Sunday. If you like comedy, you go see him. He will not
Denise,
disappoint
come back,
you.
Honey. Come back see me. I don't hate women. I love women.
I want to thank Pat O'Brien for calling in. The Insider. Check your local listings. Lisa Loeb, number one single. E-Channel, Sundays, 10 o'clock. And, of course, Daggeroni.
Daggeroni, baby.
Always great to see you, Dag. Rick Fox in tomorrow. Vanessa Mitchell from SNL in tomorrow.
Oh.
We'll look forward to that. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.